www.TheAnswer.com.
Hey, this is Trish Stratus.
This is Showtime Eric Young.
I'm Sonny DeMorello.
This is WWE Superstar The Miz.
It's Miz. DDP.
The greatest man that ever lived always liked the good rap. And you're listening to the greatest rap.
Stratus action is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
You see them now, John. Can't you hear them singing? Can't you hear them singing with me? Brothers and sisters, he's got the whole world in his hand. He's got the whole world in his hand.
Covering all the latest in the WWE.
Oh, did someone not get what they wanted? Oh, that's too bad.
And TNA.
A lot of people around here, well, they consider us a bad influence. And you know what? We're good with that.
Well, not bad meaning bad, but bad meaning good. An influence, as in we are the straws that stir the drink. We're in the position where the ladies want to see us and the fellas want to be us. They want what we have. They want to be where we are. And they're green with envy, just like my drink of choice. With your host,
sing with me, children.
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
Oh my God, it's Taker, 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 Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And her producer, Sir Rocket.
Thank goodness for my believers. They have truly been the wind beneath my wings.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you, of course, by our friends over at Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. That's right, go to YouTube.com/MBG1211 for awesome action figure reviews, stop-motion animation, and you may or may not see, you know, a certain show logo in the background.
Especially on the WWE.com YouTube channel.
Yeah, especially on WWE.com and their YouTube page.
Yeah.
Love how we can kind of sneak in there.
I know, anyway, right?
Anyway, I'm, of course, your host, Lindsay Ward. Joining me, as always, is my producer, Sir Rockin.
What is up, everybody?
We have a lot to get into tonight.
We do have a lot to get into this evening. Yes, 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 we do.
I take a week off, and, you know, everything kind of goes to hell. So, you know, we have tons of news, lots of TNA news to get into. We have the high of Impact. We're going to have to talk NXT, including TakeOver. We have to recap that. Of course, we have to talk about Payback. But before we get into all of that, we have to talk about our question of the night.
Which is simple. What is your favorite match from WWE in the last 7 days?
Oh, and we've had some good ones, folks.
Oh, yeah, we have. Like, from TakeOver,
TakeOver and Payback.
We got some good old-fashioned wrestling, and it's a hard decision to come to on what the best match was, but we're going to tell you what it is later in the show.
Yes. But now we're going to jump right into the news, brought to you by our friends over at PWMania.com. Go there for all your news needs. And we're going to actually lead off with TNA this week, because there is quite a lot of TNA news to get into. Mm-hmm. I think one of the biggest stories that we kind of have to talk about right off the bat, because it is going to affect Slammiversary, which is in 10 days, and of course the tape TV that they have, is the fact that MVP injured his knee at an overseas show this past week. He heard something pop, he's not been able to put any weight on his knee, and subsequently he is a question mark for Slammiversary.
They are waiting for MRI results for his knee. No word if he's actually taken the MRI yet, because he was wrestling for PCW over in the UK when it happened. It was a tag match, I believe, where it did actually take place. And, well, yeah, it is now putting in the main event for Slammiversary, which is Eric Young versus MVP for the TNA World Heavyweight Championship, up in the air. And that's what happens when you tape a lot of TV. It just goes well, we got an injury, what can we do? There's talks of what they may do in replace, but if he's injured and is actually out for a significant amount of time, that's a big blow to TNA right now.
That's a huge blow to TNA. That's obviously the major storyline that they're running right now is the power struggle between MVP and Eric Young. And you're also having Dixie Carter get mixed up in that as well. So it's something of MVP is one of their central characters. And to have him get injured, that's not good.
No, and especially because of all the TV they will be taping right after Slammiversary, he's going to have to probably tape up his knee. I assume he's taping up his knee. He's going to gut it out for, I guess, 2 weeks and then get surgery while they're on hiatus from taping, I would assume, depending on the MRI results. I have a feeling he's going to wrestle the pay-per-view. I have a feeling.
It all depends on what he can do. I mean, if he's able to kind of walk on it now, I would say, yeah, he's probably going to try and go. But if he can't, they're probably not going to let him. They're going to look at him and go, no, dude, just no. You know, because it's something of they can't afford to have him get permanently injured. Because you don't want to mess with your knee.
No.
You don't want to mess with any part of your body. But you especially do not want to mess with your legs in any capacity.
That and the injury we're going to talk about in a little bit, the neck.
Yes, the neck, which we will get into that situation, but that's WWE news, and, well, we're not talking about that yet.
Right.
So, you know, we will keep you updated on the situation as things progress, and we'll let you know the status of MVP heading into Slammiversary for our recap show, or not our recap show, our pick'em show, which I believe is in 2 weeks.
No. We'll talk about
that. Next week?
Yeah.
Okay. We're going to have to talk about that then. Things might be up in the air for that show. We're going to have to kind of talk about that. Yeah. Anyway, we'll let you know about that show. But yeah, we will definitely get into that at some point.
Yeah, Slammiversary is in 10 days on the 15th.
Yes. But speaking of Slammiversary, it was announced that the Von Erichs are making their debut at Slammiversary.
Ross and Marshall Von Erich, the sons of Kevin Von Erich, will debut for TNA in a tag team match on the show on 6/15. Their father, Kevin, will be in attendance as well. They're in the Dallas area, so let's dig up some, you know, Texas history and bring out the Von Erichs. Should be cool.
Should be very cool, you know. They had Lacey work for him a number of years back, and she had moderate success. I'd be very curious to see what these two can do.
Yeah. Oh, when you bring up Lacey, there are so many things that run through my mind when it comes to, you know, Lacey Von Erich and her run in TNA.
She just wanted to strip. That's all I remember. She was feuding with Daphne, and she just wanted to strip in the middle of the ring, and Daphne wouldn't do it, so Lacey just was like, screw it, and did it anyway.
Yeah, and she told one of the biggest lies ever, and I have the audio of it, so everyone listen to one of the biggest lies ever.
This is Lacey Von Erich. You're listening to The Network, Kim Steinbilt, Wild Talk Radio.
Really? I mean, really, we're taking shots this early in the show.
Why not?
Oh, man. That's just cruel. Anyway, best of luck to them. Can't wait to see them.
Should be fun. I'm. It's cool. Hey. I got a point. Sweet. Anyway, we played the point game on Sunday. And we were doing doing math conversions for, you know, from American to Canadian to Australian. Anyway.
How is Canadian and Australian different? Aren't they both on metric?
Yeah, but the dollar value, the point value, all changes.
Oh, fair enough. We're doing currency conversion.
Yeah, currency conversion, yes.
Got it. Speaking of tapings as well for TNA, it was announced that TNA will be taping TV in New York City from August 5th through the 7th. So check out ImpactWrestling.com for that, for ticket information. Great Muta will be appearing on their 6/25 television show. Pretty exciting.
Yeah, he'll be at that taping, which is going to be cool. He was back at Lockdown, so it's cool to see Great Muta again. Probably do something with Sonata, the X Division champion, I would assume.
I would hope so.
Since he's sort of his protege of some sort. So.
Please don't. I love Muta. It's always great to see Muta, but please don't let him wrestle. Please. that poor man. He just, no. Just no.
He does a lot with no knees, so.
He does his best with no knees, and major props to him for what he did at lockdown, but yeah, no. No, please don't put Muna back in the ring. That was, no. Just, all respect, but no. It was also announced that Destination X is going to be taping on June 29th in New York City.
And 26th.
26th? I'm sorry. I wrote that down wrong. 26th. In New York City, and it will be airing at on Spike TV at some point. We don't know when.
Sometime later in the summer, and that always features Option C.
Yes. And while Sonata is your current reigning and defending X Division champion, will he trade in for Option C? Will he be champion by then? I guess we'll have to see. But speaking of trying to be champions and being a tag team and everything, Robbie E. and Brooke Tessmacher are a real-life couple, but that's not all. Seems that they are going to be a team on the upcoming season of The Amazing Race.
Yeah, Robbie, they'll be off TV for a while. As they'll be a part of Amazing Race, which is a weekly program airing on CBS on Fridays this summer. The two have been a real couple for a long time. He's billed under his wrestling name, Robbie E., while she's going under Brooke Adams. They are billed as, again, as she mentioned, dating pro wrestlers from Houston. They will be one of 11 couples racing around the world, with the winning combo getting in excess of $1 million. Let me repeat that. $1 million.
If you didn't do the Dr. Evil Pinky thing, we can't be friends.
I did.
Good. I'm glad. I'm so proud. So, good luck to them. I hope they win. Everybody tune in. Cheer them on. That probably explains what happened to Robbie E. and Jesse tonight. On TV, maybe.
Yeah, they left for their trip on last Saturday.
Yeah, so that explains. So, just to kind of give you an insight into Impact, the menagerie laid out the bromance. All three of them.
Yeah, and should we talk about that now?
Yes, we can talk about that now. Let's give Kane Kittens his pleasure.
Yeah, Kane Kittens, for you and you only, during this episode of, Impact, they had what they call a horn-off. That was the horn-off on Impact.
Yeah. I told him that since we're not fully covering Impact, because we have so much to get into, we're just going to kind of hit the high points, that we will hit the high point for Kane Kittens, and we will play the horn for him, especially since he didn't get it last week.
See, you got your horn.
You got your horn. Are you happy? Am I going to hear about this when we play cards on Saturday? Yes, they were really horny.
Not as
especially that crazy Steve.
Especially that crazy Steve. At least it's not as horny as El Torino.
No one is as horny as El Torino. It was also announced that Tommy Dreamer's House of Hardcore, kind of transitioning out of TNA and onto the indies, is slated to have TV cameras at one of their shows.
Yeah, yeah. on June 6th, they will be taping, they'll have national TV cameras at the Poughkeepsie, New York show, which is going to feature Tommy Dreamer, Bully Ray, it's Tommy Dreamer and Abyss taking on Team 3D in the main event of that show.
That should actually be a really good match.
Yeah, there's a big autograph signing when they do their show out on the West Coast, so go see them there.
They're bringing literally everybody in. Like, everybody you could ever think of that's alive is going to be there.
Yeah,
go.
Yeah, go. Go out. If you're in the California, San Diego-ish area, because it's right outside of San Diego, I believe, go see House of Hardcore, Tommy Dreamer's promotion, because, yeah, it should be a fun time. And we talked about some of it on CB Radio this past Saturday, so go check it out. Subway and I ran over some of the cards, so should be interesting. But, yeah, we expect Tommy Dreamer to get hurt, or not hurt, turned on by Abyss at the June 6th show leading into the June 7th show, because they're scheduled to face off against each other.
Spoiler!
It's an educated spoiler.
Fair enough. So you want to be on TV, go to these shows, check them out, it should be awesome, and, well, support your local indie wrestling, especially if you're in that area. And if you just want to go, go.
Just go. It's going to be a fun time. Tommy Dreamer shows, from what I've heard, are a lot of fun.
I've heard they're really good.
Yeah. We have one other TNA Impact note we should mention.
Okay.
On June 4th, a couple days ago, or yesterday rather, it was 10 years of Impact.
Wow, has it been that long?
So back on June 4th, 2004, they debuted on Fox Sports. Remember that?
I don't remember the debut, but I started watching it not long after that.
But you remember when they were on Fox Sports, when they had the ticking clock for the matches?
When they had the ticking clock, and they had the two tunnels,
yeah,
and the six-sided ring, and AMW and Team Canada were still a thing.
Yeah.
Triple X. Wow. It's kind of depressing how much they've changed.
That era began 10 years ago.
I miss AMW. They were awesome. They really were. Nothing else. I want another Texas Death Match from those two, because that was a spectacular match.
It was.
If you haven't seen it, and you want to see something from the history of TNA, go watch James Storm versus Chris Harris in a Texas Death Match. They beat the high holy hell out of each other, and it was such a pleasure to watch. So please, go watch it. Go try and find anything from that era, because, and from the Asylum days, because it was just, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, the product then and the product now is completely different. The talent that they have is completely different. And it's, you get to see the growth of the company, which is really cool. And just some of the stuff that they did back then was just so awesome. Not to say that the stuff that they do now isn't awesome, but yeah, there was just, there's something about, at least in the nostalgia of remembering back to it, that it has a magic to it that, at least in my opinion, the product doesn't have now.
I agree with her.
So, and at least that's to me being nostalgic about it, and I'm one of those fans that I get nostalgic, and I remember back to those times, specifically when I started watching and kind of going back and watching the old matches, that it's, at least to me, it is glorified indie wrestling, but it was good glorified indie wrestling. So, yeah, go check it out if you haven't seen it. It's pretty awesome to watch, and yeah, I enjoy it.
That throwback down memory lane was brought to you by TNAsylum.com, the haven for TNA fans.
That's right. And now we're going to kind of transition out of TNA, out of indie, and into WWE, because we do have a little bit of WWE news to talk about, and I'm sorry, everybody, we are going to be WWE heavy tonight, because, well, they had a lot of stuff happen. And I think, obviously, the biggest story, of course, that we're continuing to keep you updated on is the fact that Daniel Bryan did have surgery. It was successful. Yay. And we do have updates concerning his recovery of that injury.
And it's not a good one.
Mm-mm.
Basically, the injury update is he's been going through rehab, and he's losing feeling in the arm. He's losing strength in that arm, in his right arm, I believe it is.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not good when, you know, coming off of neck surgery and you're losing feeling. You're supposed to be regaining feeling, because you would assume that's the reason he went in for surgery to begin with, was to get some strength back because of the nerve problem he was having. So it's one of those things where he's not recovering as fast as they would hope. The original recovery time was 6 to 8 weeks. So 8 weeks would put you at Money in the Bank.
Right.
They're not sure he's going to be in Money in the Bank, as we heard Monday night, where they put out two options.
Yeah, if you didn't see Raw Monday night and you missed the Raw post-show, which, how dare you, it's Monday nights, 11:30 p.m. right here on wildtalkradio.com. Ding! Then you didn't hear the announcement from Stephanie McMahon, which basically is that if Bryan is healthy and he can compete, he will face off against Kane in a stretcher match for the World Heavyweight Championship. But if Bryan is not healthy, then the Money in the Bank contenders will face off for the first time for the World Heavyweight Championship in a Money in the Bank ladder match, where instead of the briefcase, they're actually competing for the physical title, and it will be vacated by that point.
Right. you just look at the injury, you hear about the injury, and it's like, that's never any good.
No, that's not what you want to hear for him coming off of neck surgery. You want to hear that he's getting the strength back in the arm, and part of it is didn't Edge have a similar injury?
Edge had
similar problem.
He had similar problems where he would that's one of the reasons he retired was because of numbness. Arn Anderson had his neck surgery and then lost feeling in a part of his hand just because of all from the neck injury he suffered. It's not very good. It's not a good sign. Hopefully. When he went to go see the doctor, James Maroon, I believe his name was, this past week to get an update on why he's not progressing the way he had hoped. Hopefully they get some good news. The word is Monday they had bad news. Cue Wade Barrett. But yeah, that's where we are, and it's putting the whole title reign up in jeopardy right now. I don't want them to rush him back.
I don't want him to rush back either. It's something of when you're dealing with a neck injury, especially something where you're losing feeling in your hands and your arms, you don't want to mess with that kind of thing. Because injuries like that, I was actually talking to a friend of mine at work where he had a shoulder injury, which is not the same, but he actually took him a full year to get the feeling completely back in his arm and to the point where he could even do a thumbs up without it hurting. So it's something of, in that area of your body, you have to be very, very careful and recoup that very carefully, and it might be something of that they may have gotten it all, they may have removed the nerve and relieved the pressure on it, and now maybe it's just something of the nerve is trying to recover from having pressure on it. I don't know. I'm not a medical expert, but that might be it. But it's something of, in that, you know, in either case, Brian should really take care and not rush to come back. It's something of just give it time, let it heal, and don't aggravate it. Don't do anything to aggravate it.
When we first heard about the specific injury, we looked it up, and it was what, 2 to 3 months was like you could just start getting do sports activities, I believe it was.
Yeah, this injury actually can take a while to rehab, depending on how bad it is.
Right.
And I think they were hoping for it to be a, you know, 4 to 6 week recovery, which puts them back at Money in the Bank, and I don't think they're going to get that.
The original idea, at one point, was he would be ready in 3 weeks.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
That's blown by as fast as it came. Yeah, it's... It's going to be interesting to see what they do with Daniel Bryan. I would keep him out of the ring for as long as possible. If I was booking this, I would not have him return until SummerSlam. Give up the title. Do what Stone Ambrose, I think that, yeah, Stone Ambrose, that's how I know him as, would want to bring the Money in the Bank. Do two different money banks, one briefcase, one for the title. I would do that.
Yeah. That's a good plan. So that way you still have your briefcase holder and then you actually crown your new champion. And it's an unfortunate situation that if you have to force Brian to vacate the title, you have to force Brian to do it. I would rather see Brian vacate the title and take time off to recoup and heal and then come back than for him to rush back and be forced to vacate it later at the potential that he either has to retire or he re-injures himself. So it's something of, you know, you can always win it back. You can always get it back.
Yeah, you can. That's the thing. You can always get the belt back.
You know, Daniel Bryan is now a main event player. He's in that scene. They're not going to knock him out of it because of an injury. Basically, they're not going to do to him what they did to Ziggler. The fans won't let them. I think it's something of if you continue to keep Daniel Bryan on TV, you keep him relevant, you keep talking about him, I think that will help him and keep, you know, as I say, keep him relevant. I think what killed Ziggler was the fact that they just pulled him off TV for 6 weeks, and there was really no mention of him that I remember.
Right.
So it's, you know, having Daniel Bryan continue to fight the Authority, despite the fact that he's not getting in the ring, you have Brie Bella quit, in quotations. You know, all of that is good. That keeps the storyline moving, and that's what you want to do, is keep the storyline moving, even if Daniel Bryan cannot physically compete. Mm-hmm. So yeah, but still, best of luck to Bryan. Hope he continues to recover. Because, yeah, I want to see him recover. I want to see him get better.
I want him to be healthy when he gets back in the ring.
Yes, absolutely, 100%. Speaking of getting healthy, this just kind of broke today, and nobody apparently knew about it, at least not that I ever saw. Tamina Snuka got injured. She injured her knee. She actually had surgery on it yesterday, because she tweeted out a picture today of her leg in a leg brace in the hospital.
It's like, it was, when I saw it, I was like, wait, what? She had, I think that's like everyone's reaction. Wait, what? She had knee surgery? How? When did she get injured?
I think that's what everybody's trying to figure out is when she got hurt.
It may have been a problem she's had for a while that she just got done, I would assume.
I would guess. I don't know. It's just something of, yeah, it's like Rock sent me that picture this afternoon. I was like, what? Mm-hmm. Huh? When did she get hurt? You know, and it's best wishes to her. I hope she feels better. But, yeah, it's like, well, okay. Alrighty then. We also like to, sorry, this is the injury report. Brought to you by PWMania.com. We'd also like to send our best wishes to Jim Ross, who apparently is not feeling well after he got home from Las Vegas, and he's now spending the night in the hospital just for observation, and basically he's regretting saying anything to his wife.
She made him go to the hospital.
She made him go to the hospital. So best wishes to JR. Hope he gets to feeling better, and it's nothing serious. But now on to some good news before we get to the really bad news.
Yeah. Yeah, alright.
Heath Slater and his wife welcomed a baby girl into the world yesterday, I believe?
I believe so, yes.
So congratulations to them. I don't believe this is... I think this is their second or third.
Yes, Heath Slater does, in fact, have a wife.
Yes, he is married, and he does have children, and a very adorable lab.
So, yeah, he has a child, so there you go.
So, big congratulations to them. By all accounts, mother and daughter are doing just fine, so well done.
Yeah, by all accounts, they're doing just fine, and they're all healthy. 8 pounds, 13 ounces.
Ooh, that's a big baby.
Big boy.
Big girl.
Big girl, my bad.
Yeah, 8 pound baby. Ow.
Remedy is the girl's name.
That's a pretty name.
Yes.
So congratulations to them.
You know, WWE is doing something awesome now, Lindsay.
Hmm.
They are actually offering financial help to former talent.
Are they now?
Yeah, apparently WWE Talent Relations Department sent out letters to all former contracted talent and referees and are actually offering financial planning assistance in ways never before offered. They are offered free financial planning and debt assistance through a financial firm for anyone employed by the company. This would include help with managing finances and help with debt consolidation for any talent that is actually in debt. But it even gets better. WWE is also offering $5,000 per semester to any former talent who wants to continue their education. Those interested have to enroll by August 1st to be eligible for the fall 2014 semester and provide proof of enrollment to WWE. That's kind of cool.
That is kind of cool. That's actually really cool that they're doing that for their talent, especially, I would say both programs, but more the debt consolidation and the money management. Because WWE is actually one of the few professional organizations that doesn't work with their talent on that. At least they hadn't in the past. NFL and MLB, I believe, in the NBA, I think at least give their players a class. Mm-hmm. Whether they pay attention or not, I don't know. Some of them don't. But
I know they do that for the rookies and the rookie symposium.
Yeah, the rookie symposium, and they help them kind of show them how to manage their money. So this is really good. This would probably be a really good thing for the up-and-coming talent, as well as some of the older talent where it's some, you know, because not all of them are as fiscally responsible as they should be. And that's definitely the right, not judging. So this is, I think it's a really admirable thing that they're trying to help people out, trying to help them manage their money and get through that. And I also think it's pretty awesome that they're going to help people with school. You know, a lot of talent, some of them have degrees and some of them don't. And for the ones that maybe left school to become a wrestler, this is a great thing for them if they want to go back.
They're helping them get back on their feet.
which is, that's a tremendous thing from the company. They don't have to do that.
No, the guy from, if you get fired at Walmart, they're not going to help you get back on your feet.
No, they're not. So it, I think it's really awesome that the company is extending that to the talent. And is the death stuff going to the regular employees as well?
Right now, I don't think so, but I would assume.
At some point. It would be nice if they offered it to the regular, you know.
It might already be offered. Who knows?
Yeah, it might already be offered. I don't know. But it would be really cool if they did that for the corporate employees and also the road crew and that those types of people. They, you know, anybody needs help with finances. It's not just superstars or athletes. It's, we all need help with our finances sometimes. And that's a really good thing to offer from a company, to kind of help people with that, especially if you do have debt. Because, you know, if you've ever gone to college, you can accrue a lot of debt, and sometimes, well, you need help with that. So, that's a good thing for them to offer. So, bravo to WWE.
Mm-hmm.
Golf clap. So, and something that is maybe not bravo and not bueno, and this is actually the biggest story of the week, and we saved it for last intentionally because we kind of wanted to get into it. We got into it a little bit on Monday night. We're going to talk about it a little bit more because we actually want to discuss some of the reactions coming out of this, and that would be the chair shot heard around the world that imploded the WWE Universe, broke Twitter, and broke millions of fangirls' hearts worldwide, would be Seth Rollins turning on his Shield brethren on Monday Night Raw and joining Evolution.
Why, Seth? Why?
I think that's what everybody is, like, clamoring for, is why, Seth? Why? Which, apparently, we get a little bit of an answer on SmackDown. Spoiler alert. So, if you want to see that, tune in tomorrow night. But, what's your, you know, aside from the shock that we had Monday, because I think both you and I were, oh, holy crap, on Monday with everybody else, what's your general reaction to it?
I thought it was a move that came a little too soon. I felt like they had a little bit more legs under the Shield banner as a threesome. I thought they had more matches in them together. I thought they were just hitting their stride as a trio on the babyface side. But when that moment happened, you see Hunter coming down with the sledgehammer. Rollins grabs the chair. He's like, okay, we got a fight on our hands. And then when you see them pull back, you have Ambrose and Reigns step up, and then Rollins go, wham!
Mm-hmm.
It was one of those holy crap moments. I thought it was a nice twist. I thought it was one of those moments. It's one of those moments that got people talking. I got messages from people like, why? Why? Why would they do such a thing? How dare they do it? It's like, they just kicked off their big angle.
Yeah, this is going to be one of your big angles of the summer. My reaction was, I don't think it's too soon. It definitely got people talking. It definitely got people's attention. I really liked how they did it because, as I kind of said, I think I said it on the show Monday, but I know I definitely said it to you after the show, was that out of all three members of the Shield, everybody expected it to be either Dean or Roman. Nobody, or if you did see it, bravo, but very few people, I should say, saw the turn with Seth Rollins. Because Seth has been so faithful to the Shield, he's been so loyal to it, he really is the glue that held it together for a long time, and he's the one that turns on Dean and Roman. That was just brilliantly done by WWE. Not a lot of people saw it coming, and the reaction to it was nothing short of biblical.
And here's the coolest thing about it. No one knew.
It was actually not in the script for Monday Night Show. It's been planned for about a month.
Actually, that was not true. They corrected themselves. It was only thought about over the weekend.
Oh, well, fair enough. It was only thought about over the weekend. My bad. Misinformation. You fed me wrong information, you jerk.
That's what I read, and then I was read differently today. Sorry.
Don't even send me the right stuff. Such a bad producer. Kidding. So
she's not kidding.
So it was thought about over the weekend. It was not in the script Monday night, so nobody knew it was coming aside from obviously the people that were involved. Again, similar to the streak breaking. My heart. My poor little heart.
If you want to hear Lindsay's heartbreak, tune into the Rack Extra tomorrow afternoon where we watch The Thing.
Yeah. Again, I had to watch The Thing on Total Divas. Had to watch it. I didn't get a choice. I didn't get a vote in this. It's so wrong. Anyway, but, and this is, this, and again, with The Thing, they did not put that in the script. The only people that knew were the people involved, the direct people involved. The ref didn't know, the announcers didn't know. I don't even think Heyman knew. I think the only people that honestly knew were Vince, Hunter, Shawn, Brock and Taker, and maybe the agents.
Right. And the reaction to this has been, holy, yeah. There were death threats involved. Yeah. Well, one person goes, Mr. Rollins, I loved you too much. You are the best player in the Shield in my mind, and now I hate you too much because you are a betrayal. You broke our heart. We hate you. We hate you, Mr. Seth Rollins. We loved you. I loved you. Now, for your choice, we and I, your big fans, hate you, hate you, hate you.
She doesn't speak for all of us, just pointing that out. Yeah, there, like Rock said, there have been death threats on this. There have been people just sending all kinds of stuff to him and just hate flying left, right, and center. Somebody pointed out that the Shield has a huge female fan base. They're not kidding on that. There are a lot of people who are pissed off. They're upset, rightfully so. There are people who are like, I'm never going to watch wrestling again, and all sorts of other stuff, which, again, that's your reaction. That's your right. My issue comes with people sending death threats. That's where I draw the line, kind of. It's like, you have a right to react however you want, you know, especially in a situation where you're upset with them over a storyline, but please remember, it is a storyline. That's all it is. Seth Rollins, Dean Ambrose, and Roman Reigns probably all hugged each other afterwards. But yeah, it's a storyline, people. I hate to use the cliched line. It's not real.
But it's still real to me. Damn it.
And you know what? If it's still real to you, great. But please, you know, please keep in mind that there are people that this is, it's acting. It's a show. Please don't send death threats to Seth Rollins or Triple H or whoever because you're pissed off over this.
Stone and Chapman goes, I seriously did not see it coming. I thought after they put their problems aside, like around the Royal Rumble, that they would never split unless they lost a match with the stip like losing team splits up. I thought that Seth Rollins would be a future top face. I agree. I thought he would be too because he looked like he had the most potential. And that Roman would get sick of Ambrose or something and turn on Ambrose alone. So overall, this was a huge shock for me. I was just left speechless.
Yeah, I think that's a lot of people's reaction. It's just you were left speechless and you go, oh, holy crap, when it happened. Because, again, like I said, nobody saw Ambrose. Or, I'm sorry, nobody saw Rollins. Everybody thought it would be Roman or Ambrose. And honestly, I think it's a good call to leave that it wasn't Roman and that you have Ambrose with Roman because Roman is still, he's gotten a lot better. To his credit, he's gotten a lot better, but Roman still needs a way to go, and he'll have Dean with him to kind of help him along with that, to kind of help him get ready for a singles push, and then Dean will probably be given one as well. But you still have at least a guide with Roman Reigns to kind of help get him through.
Yeah, yeah, you do, and you have a lot of fresh matchups coming your way now that Seth Rollins is on the side of evolution.
But yeah, so I'm very curious to see where this goes. I was more intrigued because it's why, it's really the $64,000 question is why Seth, why? What did Seth Rollins sell his soul for, and was it worth betraying the Shield? That's what you have to wonder.
And we're 3 days later, and people are still up in arms about what happened.
Unfortunately, I think it's going to be one of those things where people will always be up in arms about it. They're not going to let this go for a while, because you have people who are very loyal to the Shield, and rightfully so. I mean, you have every right to be.
Right, and I'm not saying that's a good thing. I'm saying it's a good thing that people are up in arms. I'm glad people... It shows that, here's the key word, people care about wrestling.
Oh, yeah, this was... Like I said, this literally imploded the WWE universe, and they actually crashed Twitter on Monday night. Wasn't for long, but they actually crashed it Monday night with everybody talking about this, because literally just the WWE fandom just was like...
Explosion of monstrous proportions.
Yeah, because you just had your most popular faction split.
And the thing about it, they were only good guys, what, 3-4 months?
Yeah, 3-4 months, something like that. But, you know, honestly, to me, it kind of makes sense. I know you felt it was a little bit too soon, but after Evolution, there was really nowhere else for the Shield to kind of go.
Selfishly, I just wanted one more match. Why, it's for Shield.
And you may get it in some variation, but it's something of... I was kind of seeing it as the Shield had kind of run their course. It's time to start breaking them off individually and letting them have those singles runs that they deserve and push them as singles wrestlers. Because I'm really curious to see what Rollins and Reigns and Ambrose all bring to the table individually. Because we know what they can bring in the Shield, and it's extremely good. But I want to see those individual working parts on their own and how those characters break out and start doing their own thing.
It'll be interesting to see what they do on Monday night and on SmackDown this Friday.
Yes, so definitely tune in and watch. But on that note, I think we're going to just... Do you just want to give the highs and lows of Impact real quick?
The highs of the show... go fish? I don't know. No. the highs on Impact, the MVP, Eric Young, power struggle continues. There was a matchup between Samoa Joe, who was back. He took on Austin Aries. It was contract for contract. And basically what happened was Bully Ray and Eric Young came down and, well, stopped basically the match from concluding, so neither one guy wouldn't get fired. They beat up Baby Hebner. Brian Hebner is his name?
Brian Hebner, yeah.
Couldn't think of her for a second, so I just called him Baby Hebner. They beat him up, and then they challenged MVP and his crew, NEC3, to an 8-man tag team match. First Blood, mind you, First Blood match on the show, which saw... Who pulled out the victory on that one?
That would be the good guys, Eric Young, Bully Ray, Samoa Joe, and Austin Aries, defeated MVP Bobby Lashley and Kenny King, along with Ethan Carter III, who actually got bloodied up for the match. And then afterwards, we saw, well, Dixie declare war on MVP and told him to get ready to bleed.
Because that's what we need.
Yeah, that was a little convoluted. It's like you have the good guys feuding with the heel faction, and then you have Dixie coming in and going after MVP. I would almost wait for that.
Right. Now...
But... They're going for it. There was also a really good segment between Storm and Anderson, in which their match got made for Slammiversary. So, some quality stuff.
I just don't want to see Mr. Anderson as a cowboy ever again.
Yeah, assless chaps are not a good look on him. At least not those.
yeah. And his cowboy impression wasn't any good either.
He wasted beer. Dude, if you're going to imitate Storm, you do not waste beer. Ever. That is, like, against his creed to waste alcohol. If you're going to mock him, do it right.
The one thing coming out of it is you could tell Kenny King is going to be the guy who gets MVP side into a lot of trouble because he's the young kid who was just like, yeah, I'm going to fight no matter what. He's very over-anxious about things, and he's the one who got them into the fight tonight.
Which, honestly, all MVP had to say is no.
Right?
it's like he's the boss. It's like Kenny King's like, yeah, okay, we'll fight you. And MVP's like, what the hell? You know, it's honestly, MVP could have been like, nope, sorry, we're still not doing it. I don't care what you want. I'm the boss.
Mm-hmm.
So, but they went through with it. It was a really good main event. Very violent action. There was one kind of odd thing where they were questioning whether Bully Ray could use a chain. And I said to Rock, I'm like, it's a first blood match, he should be allowed to use a chain, and he should be allowed to use weapons.
Yeah, and they shouldn't have been like a tag match. It should have been a full-on brawl, because, well, it's anything goes.
Right. So they kind of kept it a little clean, but okay.
Besides that, it was an interesting impact. I can go without seeing Samuel Shaw and Gunnar in a padded cell anymore. I can be done with that.
Yeah, that was a little odd. I don't understand why Samuel Shaw is drawing pictures of Gunnar, but okay.
And they play Go Fish.
Yeah, but other than that solid show, we will definitely, like I said, we'll let you know about the preview show for Slammiversary next week. Maybe. But on that note, we're going to take our first break of the evening, and when we come back, we're going to be talking all about tonight's exciting NXT, and in addition, we're going to be kind of reviewing TakeOver and giving our highs and lows of that show. Not that I don't think there were any lows, but we'll still get into it nonetheless. So you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back.
Another victory. We are the young, dying sons. We live to change the face of history.
Hey, did you know that CB Radio is all over social media? Well, now you do, bitch asses. We are all over Facebook and Twitter. When it comes to Facebook, it's simple. Just go to facebook.com/cigarettebuttsandbandanas. All one word. It's not that difficult. Go ahead, enter it in your website address, fucking go to it, even search for it if you're really that lazy. Go to Facebook, search up at the top cigarette butts and bandanas. You know, it's not that difficult to find us and like us. Come on, you listen to us every week. Just fucking give us a like. We're all over Twitter, too. Every single one of us is on Twitter. You can follow the show at CB Radio WTR. That's the letter R, you know, Q-R-S. I just can't pronounce it. You know, I'm from Boston. Suit my bitches. After you follow the show, be sure to follow me, the Boston Badass himself, at Mr. Chris Loesch. L-O-E-S-C-H. All one word. That's in case you didn't know how to spell my last name. You can follow Rob Pox, you know, the godfather of extreme, at CB Radio G-O-E. And you can even follow Subway, who actually has got Twitter. He has a smartphone now and is on Twitter. So you can follow him, and hopefully he makes a little bit more sense there than he does on air, at X-Core Subway. Not that difficult, was it, people? Now stay a part of the fun and excitement that happens off the air, just as well as you do on the air, every Saturday night at midnight-ish, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
The evolution of online sports entertainment begins again on Sunday nights when you step into the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio. Covering all the latest in the WWE, TNA, and the indie scene. Plus, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of every WWE and TNA pay-per-view. Join Wrestle Talk Radio every Sunday night, live only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Looking for one of the most popular stop-motion animation wrestling shows on the internet today? Then check out Crash Collision Wrestling, created by the one and only Matt Goldberg. He's the director of Terrified and Pope Against All Odds. CCW is a stop-motion animation series featuring WWE and TNA stars, and it also happens to be endorsed by the likes of Elijah Burke, Hulk Hogan, and TNA Knockout Tara.
This is Tara from Impact Wrestling, and for the number one animated wrestling show, make sure you check out Crash Collision Wrestling, or else get slammed by moi.
Check out the show by logging on to youtube.com/mbg1211, and don't forget to like Crash Collision Wrestling on Facebook. Once again, check out Crash Collision Wrestling today.
Because everybody knows, much like Pope, CCW is pimping.
Calling all pro wrestling fans, don't forget to check out PWMania.com. Again, the web address is PWMania.com. It's the best place on the internet today to get your late-breaking pro wrestling news and spoilers. We also have exclusive interviews, exclusive live results coverage of pay-per-views, rare photos, videos, divas, knockouts, and more. Exclusive writers, pro wrestler columns as well, where you can get a real insider's view of the world of professional wrestling. Bookmark it today, right now. It is PWMania.com.
Can't catch a WTR program live? Well, we've got three easy ways for you to listen whenever you want. First, listen to the Wild Talk Radio Network on iTunes. Just head over to iTunes and search for Wild Talk Radio Network and subscribe to our feed. Secondly, download the Stitcher Radio app and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. And finally, just visit the archive section right here at wildtalkradio.com and you can download every single episode of all your favorite programs. Best of all, it's free. Keep up to date and spread the word to your friends on how you can be part of the Wild Talk Radio Network listening experience.
Yo, I'm in five halls of fame. I wear a kilt. I play the bagpipes. Who am I? Huh? I'm Roddy Piper, for heaven's sake. And you know what you're listening to? You're listening to Wild Talk. That's why they're trying to cage me.
When you look at me, they are so gorgeous, they'll set you free. Could it be my walk, or just my stare, that makes you freeze when I appear? Super good looking, every hair and place, everyone loves.
I swear to God, he's Derrickson Lander. I just swear to God. Anyway, welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Brought to you, of course, by our friends over at Wrestling Figure Wednesdays, YouTube.com/MBG1211. Go there for awesome figure reviews, stop motion animation, and, well, just shenanigans, because I don't know. I got nothing else. But yes, we are coming back to the new theme of one Tyler Breeze. Yes, the gorgeous one himself. And, ladies and gentlemen, he has entered the building. So, we're going to kind of start off with TakeOver first, and then we're going to go from there.
Yeah, let's get into TakeOver a little bit, which was 2 hours of fun last Thursday night, and we weren't here to recap it, so we're doing it now. This was a great show from top to bottom. It had the feel like, holy crap, it's a 2-hour wrestling special on the network. What do I get the network? It's awesome.
Oh yeah, it felt like it felt like a legit pay-per-view. And that's what I love about these specials for NXT is they make them important. They make them something big for the NXT talent so they get that experience of being part of a big event. It's not just another show. This is a big deal. This is a 2-hour live event on the network. So it essentially is, it's a pay-per-view for them.
It is. They term it special event, and it really is. There was one moment at the beginning of the pre-show. They had an interview with Natty and Tyson Kidd by Michael Cole. And they were just going through what happens when so-and-so wins or so-and-so wins. And, Tyson Kidd could be known as Mr. Natty Neidhart for the rest of his career or whatever. And then Paul Heyman made the comment coming out, coming this September on the WWE Network, couple therapy with Michael Cole. followed by Divorce Court with Michael Cole.
Right? Yeah, TJ did not look happy about that at all.
No, he didn't. So that was a nice line by Paul Heyman.
Yeah. Paul Heyman is great on these panels.
Oh, and the chemistry between Renee Young and Paul Heyman, fantastic.
Oh, it's great. I love it anytime they get them together. It's just absolutely wonderful.
It really is. Just,
they love each other so much. It's fantastic.
And one of the cool things they did on the pre-show, as they were, Christian was on that show, by the way, as well. They had the Exotic Express pull up right before the show was about to start on the pre-show, and you had everyone come out. They made their entrance, which is kind of awesome. It was a nice way to, oh, hey, the bus actually exists, and it pulls up, and you can see the people come out of it, and you saw them do their little dance and stuff, and then you saw them enter the arena to start off the show, which was a nice way to start.
It was really cool to see that happen. It just kind of added to the excitement of it. Paul Heyman was not impressed, to say the least, by the Exotic Express.
Yeah, on the post show, he's a lemon.
Yeah, he is most definitely a lemon. Sami Zayn got down, though, on the post show, but yeah. Paul Heyman, not impressed by Adam Rose or the Exotic Express. He also was trying to get Natty to attack Charlotte.
Yeah.
While Charlotte's back was turned. It was great.
It was. Adam Rose had a megaphone, too, which was kind of awesome. But you had all the whole entire Exotic Express, the party. And they opened up the show. Adam Rose took on Camacho, and the first thing out of William Regal's mouth was, he wants to be a Rosebud.
Oh, God, William Regal. You cannot have multiple crushes.
Well,
okay?
He has multiple crushes on NXT. From Renee Young to Adam Rose to Aiden English. Yeah, to Tyler Breeze. Yeah, he has lots and lots of crushes. Rose played mind games early with Camacho. Camacho took over control of the matchup. Nice double underhook suplex, which was nice. Rose, you know, fired back up into the matchup, and at one point through the crowd was saying, "Party time! All the time!" Which was fun. Rose hit the Spinebuster. We had a We Are Rosebud chant. He hit his Bronco Buster thing without the Broncoing. And then hit the party foul for the victory. Adam Rose with a nice opening match victory over Camacho. Nice match.
Oh, this was a great match. You know, it was a nice opener. Very solid. Very exciting for the crowd. Everybody was into it. I mean, that's the one thing I love about the NXT crowds. They are into this.
Oh, yeah, they are very much into it, which is good.
Which is great. So this was a wonderful way to kick off the show. After the match, we had Adam Rose dancing with the Rosebuds. Regal is dancing. He's got a big old grin on his face. Yeah, Regal so wants to be a Rosebud.
He really, really does. We got the Sami Zayn hype video, and then we were alerted. Tyler Breeze has entered the building.
And William Regal's night was made.
It really, really was. We then had the NXT tag team titles on the line. Ascension taking on Kalisto and El Locao. And to start off with, Kalisto and El Locao had new gear.
They did. They matched.
Which was nice to see.
Which was awesome. This was a really, really good match.
You had some nice hard-hitting action in this one. Ascension was the attacked early but got cleared out of the ring. There was a double dive attempt, but they got caught with hard shots by Kalisto and El Ocal. Kalisto took a lot of the offense from Ascension, which was surprising. I figured El Ocal would have been the one taking the majority of the offense and allowing Kalisto to make the hot tag, but it was the opposite in this one. Kalisto was the one taking a lot of the punishment from Ascension. We then had, Kalisto was able to, you know, get him out to the outside at one point. He fought him off for the second time. Ascension continued to take over the matchup until El Ocal got the hot tag. He had a nice springboard crossbody headbutt thing, and there was a nice moonsault by El Ocal. But then El Ocal came up and took an STO, followed by the Fall of Man, and the Ascension retained the titles.
So, well, they got competition, and they soundly beat it, so he will be next to step up against the Ascension. I don't even know.
The only disappointment, as I was mentioning through the recap, is Kalisto should have had a little bit more offense because he should be the one spotlighted a little bit, not LOCal. But I'll take what I can get at this point. It was a good match.
It was a good match. It might be that Kalisto may not have the ring experience that LOCal has. Or maybe LOCal doesn't have the ring experience Kalisto has. Who knows?
I think LOCal doesn't have as much experience.
Yeah, I think he doesn't have the ring experience that Kalisto probably has. And so it's... They kept LOCal out of it a little bit and then let him come in for the hot tag and take the fall.
Yes.
But still, great match. And speaking of... Oh my god, speaking of great matches, this one... Call the cops, because this one stole the damn show.
Somewhat. It was the first stealing of the show, we should say.
It was the first stealing of the show. There was a competition for it. Your number one contenders match, in which Prince Pretty, Tyler Breeze, with his new theme song, took on Sami Zayn, who also had a new theme song.
You could tell they were out. They were trying to... You could see who they're building. They gave both guys new music. Both men to try to out-wrestle one another to start the matchup. They're basically feeling each other out. Zayn had a nice couple arm drags, which he could throw a mean arm drag. Breeze at one point tried to take an early count-out victory, but Zayn came back into the ring. There was a nice bulldog from the middle turnbuckle by Breeze. Zayn hit an awesome Asai moonsault on the outside to Breeze, which was nice. Multiple two counts. You had a Breeze hit. Zayn hit a big crossbody. Breeze got back into it. Zayn hit his blue thunder bomb, which was a nice move for a two count. Breeze hit a nice DDT for a two count. And then there was some sort of awkward move where it ended up where Breeze yanked Zayn off the ground, hit him into a powerbomb, which was a long two count. We had an exploder suplex, which was devastating, right into the corner that Breeze took. A nice back and forth exchange. Zayn almost ran into the referee, got rolled up for a two count, multiple reverses back and forth. Breeze hit a nice suplex, another two count, a lot of near falls, as I mentioned. There was then this one spot. I'm not sure what to call it, actually, but it's sort of where he flipped him up into a powerbomb off a suplex type thing. It's like a suplex into a powerbomb, which was nice by Sami Zayn, and it was a very long two count. They tried it once, sort of got mixed up a little bit. They went right back to the move. Zayn hit it, which was nice, but a little awkward. Zayn hit a nice flip to the outside on Breeze. Sami Zayn was in his full feeling it mode. He was ready to get this job done. He went for his running kick into the corner. Breeze ducked because he got to protect the face.
And his hands up.
Not his hands, rather his face, and hit him in his nether regions.
Hit him in the spot no guy ever wants to get hit.
No, you don't want to get hit in no man's land. So he ducked down, getting out of the way. It was legal. Because he was just ducking out of the way of the kick. It just so happened where he hit him. And then hit the beauty shot for the victory. So your number one contender, Tyler Breeze. Holy crap, was this a good match.
Oh, this was a fantastic match. These two mix very well together. Like Rock said, there was a lot of back and forth. There were a lot of false counts. You could tell these guys were feeling it. They were into it. They were trying to give you literally the best match that they could. We all know Zayn is a good wrestler. Obviously, if you've ever seen him on the indies, you know that. It's nice to see how he's adapting into the WWE style and that environment, and how he's still kind of, he's getting to be himself, but it's more for television, which is fantastic. But this is a really great showcase of Breeze's talent. Because up until now, we really haven't seen much of Tyler Breeze and what he can really do.
I've been saying it for the past 3 months since we've been covering NXT, since it's been on the network. I wanted to see more out of Tyler Breeze. I was digging what I was seeing. This match put him on the map.
Yeah, this was a wonderful showcase for both of them. I'm really digging Tyler Breeze's character. I really like it. Like I said, he like everything about it reminds me of Zoolander. Literally everything. It's literally Zoolander for wrestling. I almost want to see Ziggler, Breeze, in a tag team with Billy Gunn managing them. Just have the whole family there. Because literally, it's like Tyler Breeze could be Dolph Ziggler's son. Dolph Ziggler is obviously the son of Billy Gunn, if you ever follow their Twitters.
Yeah, they are.
So, you know, just get the whole family together. But yeah, this was a great, great showing by both men, and definitely a hard-fought victory for Breeze. Definitely deserves it. So he is your new number one contender for Adrian Neville's championship.
Now, I've seen a lot of people say that the words did not expect Breeze to win. I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, we both picked Breeze to win.
Mm-hmm.
See, we knew it. Just listen to us. We got the hookups. We know what's going on.
It's not Zane's time yet.
No, it's not Zane's time yet. But we kind of had the impression of what was going to happen. So, there you go.
Yeah. Then backstage, we see Bret Hart giving advice to both Natty and TJ. So, yay. Or Tyson. Should say Tyson. Need to call him that. Sorry. We also then see Lana come out. She was looking ravishing, as always.
Well, she is the ravishing Russian.
She is the ravishing Russian. She talked about how Rusev is taking over Raw and SmackDown. We then had basically Rusev aggressively waving the Russian flag again.
Yeah, we did. Then you had the man who stays hyped, Mojo Rawley, come out with the USA.
And he also aggressively waved a flag.
He did. He had the USA flag, and he said, "In the USA, we don't get hyped. We stay hyped." He says he's going to shove his flag up his Putin.
That sounds uncomfortable.
That does sound uncomfortable. That does really sound uncomfortable. Mojo gets then destroyed by Rusev. He locked in the Accolade, tossed Mojo out of the ring. Lana then tells him, "Rusev crush!" And then they put the submission on the ramp.
Yeah. Very uncomfortable. But yes. Positive showing for Rusev and Lana. Always wonderful to see Lana. Please give me more of her. Thank you. We then got a title tournament recap. We had Paige come out. She said it's, you know, amazing to be back home at NXT. She says it may be cliche, but she thanks the fans. She wouldn't be where she is without NXT and, of course, the wonderful fans. And that she really couldn't be prouder to be the first ever NXT Women's Champion, and that the new champion needs character and strength and grace, because she's Miss United States. No, sorry, wrong thing. She's holding the key to the future, holding that could lead to this, and she holds up the Divas title.
Yeah.
Nice little showing by Paige.
Good little promo. She put importance on the NXT Women's Championship. And yeah, holding the NXT Women's Championship is the key to the future. It all could lead to the WWE Divas Championship, which it did for Paige.
Yes, it did. And on that note, the second match of the night that stole the show.
Oh.
Natty, with Bret Hart in her corner, took on Charlotte, who had her father, Ric Flair, in her corner in the finals of the NXT Women's Championship Tournament to determine the new women's champion. Holy shit, this was a good match.
This was a tremendous, tremendous match. The fans were into it. Fans got behind it. You had emotion involved. The match started out with a woo-off between the girls during Natty's entrance. Yeah, Natty out-wrestled Charlotte to start. Charlotte out-wrestled Natty. And both, it was basically a stalemate as they were trying to figure each other out. Natty then started working over the leg of Charlotte. Charlotte then turned her attention to the neck of Natty. There was a nice flip into a roll-up by Natty for a two count. Nice body scissors by Natty. Charlotte then fights out of it by choking Natty. And then, you know, Natty turned that into an armbar, which was a nice counter. Then we had a slap fight, which the guys got excited for. We had a nice backpack stunner by Charlotte, breaking out breaking a chokehold, which led to a two count. Then we have the awesome figure four headlock that Charlotte does, where she drives Natty's head into the mat. Natty came back a little bit, and then her, you know, step on your head in front to a dropkick, which is... And Charlotte is flexible for the fact that her whole entire head went basically into the mat. You see some girls just taking a little bit, but she went flat. I was like, that's impressive on both accounts. Natty knocked Charlotte out of the ring. Natty then got yanked off the side of the ring by Charlotte by the leg, so they worked over her leg a little bit more. Charlotte, though, took a big chance, missed a big moonsault. This allowed Natty to eventually get the sharpshooter applied. Charlotte was able to get to the ropes, sort of, but got pulled right back into the ring. To the middle of the ring, I should say. And then things got interesting as she countered the sharpshooter into a figure four. That right there was nice piece of work by the girls.
That was beautiful. That was just beautiful.
And then they were locked in the figure four, and they were reversing it back and forth, back and forth, slapping one another, trying, you know, Natty got it back on Charlotte, and Charlotte had it on Natty. They were just going back and forth in a crowd. Like, the crowd was into every single moment of that. It was fantastic. This is what happens when you give the girls time. They were given 17 long minutes. They told a great story. They eventually rolled to the outside, still attached to the figure four. Natty was on the apron. Charlotte was on the ground. Charlotte was able to kick Natty's knee first, knee into the steps, which looked like it hurt. Charlotte then applied Natty's own sharpshooter. Natty was able to counter out of it, because, well, she's the one who knows how to do it, and tries to put the sharpshooter on Charlotte, but Charlotte gets out of it, and then Charlotte hits down to the queen, the flip-over neckbreaker, and Charlotte, becomes the second ever NXT Women's Champion, in a great, great, great match. I want to call it match of the night.
Yeah, this was a thing of beauty to see, because it was not a typical Divas match. You didn't see the typical Divas spots that they normally go through. This was a wrestling match. This showcased really well what Natty is capable of, which I don't think we've ever truly seen how good Natty actually is, but it also showcased how good Charlotte is. And Charlotte needs work, I'm not gonna lie. She needs work, but when Charlotte comes up, oh, shit's gonna get real.
What you see in Charlotte is raw ability. She gave all the credit in the world to Natty for the match, because Natty wrestled her butt off in this one.
Oh, yeah, she made this match... Natty made this match. She deserves an MVP award for this match. I mean, it was so well done, so well crafted, and that's why I said, I don't think we've ever really seen that out of Natty, because she doesn't get that opportunity to really do that ever on the main roster. They aren't given this time.
No, as we see on Total Divas, their time gets cut all the time.
Yeah, so it's the fact that they got 17 minutes for this match is unbelievable. And again, it just adds to how important this felt and really was. They made a big deal about this title tournament. They had Paige come back and put it over. You had Natty and Charlotte go out there and deliver arguably match of the night, really showing up the boys and showing the boys how it's done.
And having Flair and Bret Hart out there just added to that specialness.
Oh, it did. It completely did. Even though Bret kind of didn't really know what was going on half the time.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. But it was still... It added to that specialness of that moment. And afterwards, you had both women hug. Flair and Hart hug. Both girls. They hug each other. Flair is crying. Natty's crying. Charlotte's crying. I think Bret shed a tear. Yeah, this was a wonderful, wonderful segment in the show. Great match. They deserve all the credit in the world for this. This was just, I can't sing his praises loud enough.
When they were going up the ramp, you see Charlotte walking up the ramp and Ric Flair staying back there, right? Back a little bit. Uh-huh. And she's like, come and give me, are you going to come and give me a hug? To her father. Like, he was doing the respectful thing, giving her her moment, but she wanted to share it with her father, because for Charlotte, she would never wanted to be a wrestler. This was not her thing.
No.
She only got into wrestling 2 years ago, and now what she's basically doing, which is sort of cool in a way, and it's very emotional. She's doing this all, she's living Reed Flair's dream.
She really is, yeah.
And for that family, that's a big deal.
Yeah, it's something of, you could see the emotion in Rick's face where it's, that's my girl, that's my kid, that just did that, that just put on this match. Because he heard that crowd reaction and he was watching that match with everybody else and he was into it just as much as everybody else, and you could tell he was a very, very proud papa that night, and proud of his daughter and of his family and everything that happened. And like I said, for Charlotte to be where she is and to be putting on these types of matches, like I said, she needs work. It shows how good she is. It shows the talent she has, and she's only going to get better.
Like I said, there's a lot of raw ability.
Yeah, she's got the knack, she's got the gene, and I'm very, very eager to see her come up with the talent that they have on the female roster right now and work with that talent to see what we get. Because I think we'll get some absolutely phenomenal matches, and I don't want to call it too early, but we might get a second golden age of women's wrestling, and if that's the case, I am totally fine with that. Totally fine with it.
I am as well.
But last but certainly not least, we then see Natty wishing Tyson good luck because, well, his match is next. Those poor bastards had to follow that women's match.
Oh, yeah, the crowd. Oh, for the crowd. It took a while for the crowd to get into this one a little bit. But it was the NXT Championship, Adrian Neville versus Tyson Kidd. It was a battle for control early on. Kidd reached out for a handshake. They shook hands. Again, I liked how they set up these matches. You had both guys basically trying to feel each other out. You had a trade-off of arm drags. Both men went for a dropkick at the same time, and it's like, oh, okay, stalemate continues. I think Kidd got aggressive with hard forearm shots to Adrian Neville. He took control of the match from that point. Kidd knocked Neville out of the ring, did a diving flip to the outside, led to a two-count after a two-count back in the ring. A double crossbody, both men collided in the ring. Neville made his fiery comeback with hard kicks like he normally does, came off the middle rope, came down, Kidd charged, got caught into a trio woe. Neville laid into him with hard shots and a nice running drop kick. Neville knocked Kidd out of the ring on the apron. Neville tried to charge, Kidd caught him with a nice kick right to the head. Kidd went to the top rope, took a little too long, but Neville stopped him on the top rope. Neville went for a superplex, got blocked. Sunset flip powerbomb. Neville flips and landed on his feet, which was impressive. And he caught Kidd with a powerbomb of his own for a very long two count. There was a nice Russian leg sweep off the ropes by Tyson Kidd. Two count. Kidd came off the top rope, got stopped, went for a submission, got rolled up. Kidd then went a little bit later, went for a dropkick into a suplex. Neville countered, and both men went tumbling out of the ring. Both men almost got counted out, got back in the ring at 9. Kidd locked in the sharpshooter, and the dungeon lock. Neville was able to get to the ropes. Neville was stuck in the ropes. Kidd hit him with a flipping leg drop from the top rope. Another long two count. Kidd then went back to the top rope, got caught. Kidd fought Neville off. Third time, he kept fighting him off. For the third time, Neville ran up the ropes, hit a nice hurricanrana from the top rope, and then hit the red arrow, allowing Adrian Neville to retain the NXT Championship.
this was a really, really, really good match.
Right. Crowd wasn't into this match as they were in the previous two, just because it's like, holy crap. It's like, there had to be a come down. It was a really nice work. For even me, I was like, this just doesn't have like the feel of the last two matches, but it's like, those matches were just, yeah.
It didn't have the drama, it didn't have the oomph that the previous two matches had. It kind of, no offense to Tyson Kidd and Adrian Neville, it lacked the heat. It's like Charlotte and Natty, they had had previous mix-ups where they had butted heads. You have the Hart Flair history. You have all of that playing into that match. For Zayn and Breeze, it was, they're both on a quest for the title. Breeze is really trying to prove himself. Zayn is just obsessed with becoming the champion. They've had their mix-ups in the past. Tyson and Adrian was almost too nice. It was too polite. It's just literally Tyson's like, I'm going to come in there and take your title.
Yeah, because...
if I can, please.
Right, because, you know... Tyson Kidd is a polite Canadian. Because it is, well, indeed a...
Yeah. So, and there's nothing wrong with him being a polite Canadian. But yeah, this didn't have the same oomph that really a lot of the matches on the card had. But especially the women's match and the number one contenders match. It was kind of almost like it felt like a little bit of an afterthought. It was still a good match. It took the fans a while. It would have been nice if there had been a little bit of a buffer between the women's match and this match, just to kind of sort of catch your breath, because after, you know, Zayn and Breeze and then the women's match, it's like, oh my gosh. So it would have been nice to have a little bit more of a buffer than what we got, but it was still a really good match.
It really was a really, really good match. Overall, this show, top to bottom, an enjoyable 2 hours. Watch NXT Fallout if you haven't. It was fun and entertaining as well. We should mention Neville offered a handshake. Kid didn't shake the hand and ran his shoulder into him as the show closed. So Kid was a... well, spoil sport, as it were. He was, in fact, not, you know, a polite Canadian at that point.
No. He was not happy about that loss at all, as he was definitely looking to prove himself. And, well, he didn't do that. So that wraps up NXT TakeOver. And now we're going to jump into tonight's NXT, which is, of course, the fallout from TakeOver. We saw really highlights from last week regarding Adrian Neville retaining the championship. We saw Charlotte becoming, you know, the second NXT Women's Champion. The new number one contender was determined. Will Tyler Breeze tell us when he's going to challenge Adrian Neville? You know, basically, what's going to happen tonight on NXT?
By the way, Tyler Breeze has entered the building.
Yay! And basically, you have Mojo come out in some really bright green trunks.
It's how he stays hyped.
Apparently.
Green gets you going, gets you hyped.
Apparently, dude, those things were like electric green. We then get the spotlight, please. William Regal fawned all over himself. Aiden English took the stage. He serenaded Mojo. He called him a sideshow folly. And that Mojo let down the USA, and that's why Aiden is here. And so we get match number one of the evening, which is Mojo Rawley taking on Aiden English.
Aiden tried to attack early, but Mojo caught him with a kick. Mojo basically was able to hit a big splash from Pete in the corner, came on the rope, but got caught with a big clothesline from Aiden English. Aiden took control of the matchup from that point forward. But Mojo fired back into the matchup, hit his big comeback, hit the big shoulder block, and the hyperdrive. Mojo Rawley gets back on the winning track by beating Aiden English.
Yeah, so quick victory for Mojo. Very solid match. We then saw the situation regarding Tyson Kidd and, well, his sore loser moment, you know, from TakeOver. We also see him walking off the set of the Fallout show, where basically he's like, you know, well, you're kind of being a dick. Why are you being a dick? And Tyson just leaves. We then have backstage, Devon Taylor asked Natalya about what's going on, and Natty says that she was just proud of her husband and that she will always have his back.
He did a good job. You know, mm-hmm. She'll always have his back. That
which
one,
doesn't
that.
Really answer the question, but okay.
That once again is a that Canadians are very polite.
You're gonna have fun with that, I can tell. Anyway, we come back from the break and we get match number two of the evening. Bayley! Yay, Bayley! Taking on the NXT Women's Champion Charlotte in a non-title match. Of course, Charlotte had the boss, Sasha Banks, with her.
Mm-hmm.
This is a good match.
Good match. Both women locked up early. Charlotte was able to grind away with a headlock. They both went for hip tosses. Bayley was connect with one finally. Actually, a couple, including one. After springing off the middle rope, Charlotte mocked Bayley by spinning around on top of her, which Bayley did moments prior. Charlotte was able to work over Bayley with the figure four head scissors, like we mentioned in the previous match, where she drives her head right into the match. Sasha tried to interfere. Bayley slipped out, took her out. Bayley came off the middle rope with a spinning elbow, led to a two count, and then Charlotte gains control, but out from the back came Summer Rae. Bayley tried to use this distraction as an advantage, but Charlotte was able to hit down to the queen, is it?
Yeah, down to the queen.
Down to the queen for the victory. Summer was all hugs with the BFFs after the match. They were a little bit confused why she's back. They went after Bayley on a 301 attack, but out came Paige and Emma for the save.
So, kind of awkward finish for this match. Obviously, Sasha and Charlotte were not happy to see Summer at all. Summer kind of went a little psycho on Bayley, so it's like, okay. And we saw Paige and Emma make the save, so it's good to see kind of those divas coming back and making an impact on the women's division.
Mm-hmm.
I would have liked to have actually seen, and this is no offense to Paige or Emma at all, because I adore them, but I would have actually liked to have seen some of the other NXT divas make the save for Bayley as opposed to Paige and Emma. But they're obviously setting things up, so that makes sense.
Yes, the Emmalution is back into NXT.
For the moment.
For this moment.
Backstage, we see Ty Dillinger and Jason Jordan in the interview area. They're practicing their entrance song as we go to commercial. When we come back...
Hold on. They were singing. They used the words boom boom a lot.
Yes, boom boom. They use boom boom a lot. That's which you never want to use in a sentence as well.
No. Because I wrote down in my recap, Ty Dillinger and JJ cut a promo saying the words boom boom.
A lot.
That's all I got out of that one.
Yeah. We then see video package for the Ascension and basically the victory over Kalisto and LO Cal, which leads to match number three of the evening. Ty Dillinger and Jason Jordan taking on Stuart Cumberland and Philip Goulart.
I had question marks. I didn't catch his name.
Goulart? Something maybe? I don't know. It looked Goulart. So I'm sorry if I said your name wrong, but Phil.
It was a basic squash match for Ty Dillinger and Jason Jordan. As I wrote, because I didn't catch his name, Dude in Orange tried to throw out some offense, but got cut off quickly. The flapjack on the orange trunk guy looked really scary as he almost landed on his head. Jason Jordan hit the Jordan Slam for the W. So Ty Dillinger and Jason Jordan pick up the victory. Yes,
so
I did write down Dude in Orange Trunks.
I'm so proud.
It's like,
after the match...
Hold on. You even had the announcers going, what's his name? How do you say his name? Like, they were even confused by the name. What type of name is that?
Yeah, so maybe needs a little work on the name just a little bit.
Maybe.
So after the match, we saw CJ Parker. He's in the crowd with his silent protest. He had a sign. So go, CJ, go. Elsewhere, we see Charlotte backstage with the BFFs, and they are not happy to see her. Summer mentions that, you know, she's been in Total Divas, she's been in Hollywood, she's basically putting the BFFs on the map. Charlotte and Sasha could care less. Charlotte's pissed that Summer interrupted. you know, Summer then sees her face on a stick, and she likes the likeness. She thinks it's a good picture. She's impressed. And she tells them that, well, they're not going to need it anymore because she's back.
Summer's back, everybody. Summer is back in NXT.
So, shenanigans to unfold. Will we see Summer challenge Charlotte, maybe, for that title?
To what I think. I think that's coming at some point.
Could be. We come back and we see Tyler Breeze making his way to the ring. That's right, folks. It's segment of the evening, potentially. Which Tyler Breeze is going to debut his new music video to accompany his new theme song. And he says that it's time for your weekly dose of the King of Cuteville and the definition of Delish. He is the number one contender, and at TakeOver, he took over when he beat Seth Rogen's less good-looking little brother, Sami Zayn. And now he's on his way to the NXT Championship.
I like that line. That was a good one.
That was a great line. Tyler says that the NXT title is so pristine, it should be only worn by someone who is gorgeous. Of course, that's him.
That's him. Yeah.
Now he's in control because he can choose when he wants the match, anytime, any place. Until that time, he will let the man who Maybelline forgot be on his toes. So it looks like Adrian Neville's going to have to be on guard.
Yes.
But tonight is not the night for Adrian, so I guess he can take a deep breath as we're about to see the 3-time MTV Euro Award winning video. And oh my god, I'm dead. Basically, it's Tyler Breeze with a lot of video effects singing in a studio, but just holy shit.
That was a segment. That was a great segment. Tyler Breeze. Yeah.
Yeah. After the video was over, the fans appeared to like it and Tyler was crying. It was just spectacular.
And did you know William Regal now has that song as his ringtone and had listened to it 7 times that day?
Go, Regal, go. And as if that wasn't cheesy enough, we come back and we see a video package highlighting the end of Bo Dallas' time in NXT after he lost to Big E. And oh Jesus, oh my holy Jesus, the cheesy factor and the dialogue in the video, because Bo Dallas had a fit in the commercial break and we got to see part of it last week. We got to see the full thing this week. And I believe we have audio of it.
And for your listening pleasure, one moment in Bo time.
NXT was built on Bo leaving. The stakes are huge for Bo Dallas. If he wins, he will get a future NXT title opportunity.
When I look into the audience, I don't see fans. I see a family.
If he doesn't, goodbye, Bo.
Spent your whole life preparing for this one moment in time.
I'm going to give you a cookie.
For your own sacrifice, you carry the hope.
It's bow time!
You run with eternal grace. Your courage is matched by your pride.
And I promise I will never leave you.
Your heart, your destiny can't be denied.
Oh! Kenny sent Bo Dallas away! Yes! Goodbye, Bo Dallas!
Capture the dream.
No! I want each and every one of you to know that I strongly dislike every one of you. I don't usually use language like this, but you all should know that you people stink. Stop talking. I'm talking. All of you have to leave now. Stop being here. No, you have to go. No, you go. You guys. guys really stink. Stop talking! I'm not kidding! You have to leave! I'm gonna call the police! You better go, because I'm really calling them. Okay, the cops aren't coming, but I'm seriously calling campus security. Leave already! Why are you still here? Whatever. I'm calling campus security, though, for real.
I'm calling campus security. For real.
He sounded so defeated at the end.
Just leave. Just leave.
Just go! I love that. I just want you guys to know I just strongly dislike all of you. Oh, Bo.
Oh, Bo. Oh, Bo, Bo, Bo.
This is the Bo Dallas I want to see on TV. Because it's going to be hilarious when it happens. When Bo Dallas loses his shit on TV, it's going to be amazing.
As we continue to say, Bo Dallas is so cheesy.
I swear, he was carved out of cheese. His parents wanted another kid, so they just, you know, they couldn't have one. So it's like, well, let's just carve him out of Velveeta and call it good. And I swear that's what happened. It's just, it's so stupid and it's so cheesy, but it's so damn entertaining. At least to me it is. I sit here and laugh at him. Like, I was in hysterics at this when it aired. I was just laughing.
Me too. It's tremendous.
And to get to see the whole thing where he's like, I'm going to call the cops. I'm going to call the cops. Okay, the cops aren't going to come, so I'm going to call campus security. It's like, oh, Bo. You special little snowflake, you. But yeah, so this we had to play that because it was just like, it was so cheesy and so stupid and just like him and Tyler Breeze back to back. He's like, I'm dead. Just dead. I'm done.
Yeah. Alright, this led to our main event. It was a non-title match. Adrian Neville, Justin Gabriel. Again, starts off both men feeling each other out. Neville was working over the arm of Gabriel. Gabriel finds out, started working over the arm of Neville. Neville hit his head scissors. That set Gabriel out of the ring. Neville went for a dive. Gabriel came back up, gave him a clothesline. Gabriel went for a dive, but Neville pulled down the rope. Neville came off the apron, hit a running flip to let to a one count. They went back to working over the arm. Gabriel had Neville trapped into a submission. Neville fought out of it, forearm shots followed by hard kicks, and then a nice running kick right to the head. Neville, on the middle rope, hit a drop kick, two count. He had a clutch submission on Gabriel, but he was able to escape with a nice counter with a Northern Light suplex. A bunch of back and forth go-behinds between both men. Gabriel went for a springboard moonsault, landed on his feet. Neville came on the ropes and got caught with a drop kick, two count. And then Gabriel went to put Neville away, went for the top rope 450 splash. It missed. Neville hit a couple of kicks, followed by a running drop kick in the corner. And then, of course, we had the red arrow for the victory.
Solid match. They went for a while on this one. You knew this was going to be good, because Gabriel and Neville are very similar in their style, so you knew they were going to pull some really good stuff off.
Which is good. Good match. Nice close to the show. It was a really... Yeah, they are very similar, and they pulled out a good match tonight.
And, well, the Tyson stuff at the end.
Yeah, Tyson Kidd came out and said after his action a takeover, he deserves the reaction he was getting from the crowd. He says he feels like a fool on how he reacted. He was embarrassed. He is sorry. He was sorry for what he did. But the fact is that the next time he gets in the ring with Neville... he will beat him for the title, and then he, you know, challenged him for a title shot. And, well, Adrian Neville accepts, so we will see another match between Adrian Neville and Tyson Kidd for the NXT Championship, which Lindsay said, shouldn't there be a line?
Yeah, that's the thing that kind of got me with this is, there should be a line because Tyler Breeze is the number one contender, and it's you shouldn't be having just, you know, any WWE superstar coming down and saying, oh, hey, I want a shot at your title, but since Breeze hasn't staked his claim, I guess that sort of circumvents everything in terms of where the line is, because until Breeze says, I want you on this day at this time, then Neville's kind of got a wide open schedule, so.
Right, and it doesn't matter who Breeze fights. He fights the champ.
Right, he fights the champ, so it doesn't matter. But, yeah. Just kind of an interesting segment, so Tyson's going to get one more shot to prove himself, to prove that he's not just Mr. Natty Neidhart. Because that's essentially what he's trying to overcome right now.
Right, so that's a lot of NXT. Solid show. Solid show tonight. Really good show last week. And from what I hear, next week's show is going to be bo-tacular.
Yes, we get to see the debut of Mr. NXT. Which I will be laughing the whole way through.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, on that note, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to be talking Tweet of the Week because, well, yeah, fasten your seatbelts. I have a lot. Rock has more. He has 2 weeks' worth of tweets. So do I. We're going to be talking WWE Payback. And, of course, we have our question of the night, which is, what was your favorite match in WWE in the last 7 days? So you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back.
Out and about when your favorite WTR program is on the air? Don't worry, we've got you covered. You can listen to WTR on the go with TuneIn Radio. Just download the TuneIn Radio app for your Android or iPhone, iPad or tablet, and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. Best of all, it's free. What are you waiting for? Download the TuneIn Radio app today. Tune in to WTR wherever you are.
Looking for the latest in all things TNA Wrestling? Then look no further than TNAsylum.com. TNA Asylum keeps you up to date on all the happenings in TNA Wrestling, along with featured columns, full coverage of TNA-related events, and a first look on the behind-the-scenes events of TNA that you can't find anywhere else. Log on right now to the haven for TNA fans, TNAsylum.com.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show. From the big returns...
After 7 long years, finally, The Rock has come back to Monday Night Raw!
To the shocking moment... And the moments that leave you speechless.
I grew up locked in a basement, suffering severe psychological and emotional scarring when my brother set my parents on fire. From there, I shifted around among a series of mental institutions until I was grown, at which point I buried my brother alive. Twice. Since then, I've set a couple of people on fire and abducted various co-workers. Oh, and I, once electrocuted a man's testicles.
It's the Raw Post Show. Monday nights, 11:30 p.m. Eastern, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Greetings and salutations, listeners. This is Christopher Daniels, and among many things, I am a pillar of society, an inspiration to children everywhere, and the man with the rear that makes the girls cheer. And what I like to do on my off days is listen to The Rack on Wild Talk Radio. And now, you are too.
WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you, of course, by our friends over at Wrestling Figure Wednesdays, YouTube.com/MBG1211 for all your action figure video needs. Go check them out because it's awesome. And now we're going to take a little break. We're going to have a breather, have some fun, and do Tweet of the Week.
Well, I used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter until I found Twitter. Ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
So, I have a lot and Rock has a lot, so get comfy because this is going to take a minute.
Yeah.
So, Daniel Bryan, and these next three are Daniel Bryan. And this is a serious one, but it resonated with me because I had a similar experience. But anyway, I listened to a mom criticize her teenager for not wanting to go to college, despite the teenager having valid points as to why. Schooling is not the same as education. You're on the road to being educated when you know yourself so thoroughly you write your own script instead of taking a part written by others. Very strong words.
Very, very strong.
And now to get silly. Ricardo Rodriguez. My time is now. I'm sneaking onto Adam Rose's bus. Darn it, they locked the door. And there's a picture of him trying to get into the bus.
Which is awesome.
And then this next bunch is DiGiorno pizza. So, obviously, if it has pizza in it, it's DiGiorno's. Which, by the way, they were live tweeting Monday Night Raw. This needs to happen every week. The Undertaker's WrestleMania streak ended at 21. It takes 22 minutes to bake a pizza. Hashtag coincidence, hashtag conspiracy, hashtag raw. Hey Bo Dallas, I believe that everyone should be able to enjoy a fresh baked pizza in the comfort of their own home. Yo Kane, do you wear that glove so you don't burn your hand when you're getting a pizza out of the oven? Hashtag raw, hashtag another legitimate question. Kane's mask makes people hungry because it's the same color as pepperoni. More like the big red delicious machine. Hashtag raw. I wonder how many times Luke Harper has lost an entire slice of pizza in his beard.
By the way, there's a new Wyatt Family shirt available on WWEshop.com.
It's awesome and I get paid tomorrow. Dilemmas. No wonder Eric Rowan is so angry. He can't fit a slice of pizza through that tiny mouth hole in his lamb mask.
Yeah, it would. Yeah, you need to make a bigger hole for the pizza.
Yeah, you do. Where's Bray Wyatt? Probably waiting on a delivery pizza. When will you learn, buddy? Hashtag raw. Hashtag DiGiorno. No, you didn't.
It's deliver. It's not. It's DiGiorno, not delivery or something to that effect. It's it's not delivery.
It's not delivery.
It's DiGiorno. Yeah, I was gonna get it right one of these days. Anyway.
Don't worry, Ambrose and Reigns. Pizza will never turn its back on you. Hashtag the Shield. Hashtag raw. The Buzzards. Evolution is dead. The Shield is dead. Who's the last faction standing? Triple H doesn't win. We win. Hashtag WWE. Hashtag Raw. Caw. Hashtag follow the us. Not Regal. Rollins was Hydra all along. That bastard. Turnbuckle Magazine. I wonder if the Shield merchandise on WWE Shop will now be a third off.
Well played.
And finally, George R. R. Martin.
Hold on, hold on. Kinkins, you don't have 1.32 points. You never got a point. So, anyway, continue.
Anyway, moving on. George R. R. Martin, the author of Game of Thrones. I don't understand why I wasn't invited. I'm great at weddings. At Kim Kardashian, at Kanye West. If you've ever read Game of Thrones, you get the reference. That's all I got.
Speaking of Kim Kardashian, we'll start with this one. James Storms, thanks for the wedding invite, Kim Kardashian. Love to make it, but I have a double shot in Texas. Maybe next time. Best of luck! Ziggles. I'm very spiritual. No radio when I drive. I just like to be alone with my thoughts and occasionally look up from texting. Someone named Morgan Manning tweeted, his face looks like a mixture of Bray Wyatt and Leonardo DiCaprio. I can't unsee it. Hashtag believe. Ricardo Rodriguez, leave my Torito alone, Drew. Scott Fishman, you know when John Cena uses the B word, he is serious. Hashtag WWE, hashtag Raw. CM Punk, why am I quiet? Because I'm watching the fucking game. Get off Twitter and pay attention. This ain't over by a long shot. Lots of hockey left. Well, Jimmy Corderas, dear Internet, Punk is tweeting about NHL playoff hockey. Put the tissues and paper towels away. Someone asked Ziggler, who's your favorite Power Ranger? Because he was doing hashtag ask the heel. He goes, whichever one Xavier Woods is. Xavier Woods replied, black. Betty freaking White, I wish I had spent more time at work, said a porn star on their deathbed. Robert Flores, free copies of Windows Vista for all Clippers season ticket holders. Because you know the former CEO of Microsoft now owns them. Tommy Dreamer, I set my TiVo for Showtime's No Limits on Animal Planet at 8 p.m. If he doesn't die, I will tune in every week until he does.
Oh, the positivity.
Rockstar Spud, Showtime EY is part responsible of putting me through a table yesterday. His new show starting at 8 p.m. on Animal Planet tonight can kiss my ass. Renee Young, really super bad, want to read Lena Dunham's book. Dolph Ziggler replies, may I recommend a different naked ladies book? She replied, no. Lance Storm, student in class who I constantly rib about the amount of care he puts into his hair looking good, showed up with his head shaved. Turns out he went to Supercuts, and a lady accidentally used the wrong guard and cut a patch of his hair off. Oops. And had to shave his head. Not only did this kid still pay her for the haircut, he even tipped her. What the fuck? I guess I'll rib him about that. I'll rib him about this now. Smart idea, Lance. Smart idea. Scott Fishman. When my wife came home after passing a test, she said she did so well because, well, she believed in herself. I created a monster. Hashtag WWE at Bo Dallas. Someone asked Kazarian, why did TNA let you go? He replied, we both wanted to see other people. Kevin Cooney, paper here in Philadelphia. Last Sunday, the countdown was outs remaining in Beckett's no-hitter. Today, it's counting how many brain cells have been lost this series. Because the series last time with the Mets went a lot. They met lots and lots of extra innings. Which had Ricky Battaglia go, again, no! Someone make it stop. It's not funny anymore. Paul Jolovitz. To date, these are all the records set this weekend. 973 innings in the series. 11,386,477 pitches. Three players who were not in baseball Thursday. Those were not real numbers, but you get the point. Leslie Goodell goes, Kevin Cooney has his tie on today. Earlier he told me it was for TV tonight, but apparently it's seconds as a noose. Kevin Cooney, mom text, extras again, I'll see you tonight, but be quiet when you come in. And then they replied, you just realized you revealed the fact you still live at home. And he replied, honestly, I live here now. Meaning at the stadium. Seth Mates goes, are Vince and Hornswoggle the first father-son combo to get their head shaved? Hashtag, yes I know, don't bother replying. JRH writing, if Rusev and Lana jump to TNA, Lana will have to yell, Rusev, Brian Adams, for legal reasons. The hashtag WWE payback. Because if you don't get the reference, well, Brian Adams played Crush. Dolph Ziggler, she's my gluten-free, locally grown, organic cherry pie. WWE creative humor. The Blackhawks are out of the playoffs, which means the only reason CM Punk won't be on Raw is because he doesn't love you.
Ouch.
These are for the hashtag ruin a reality show. Chopped. Circumcision. MTV's True Life. I want to be on MTV's True Life. America's Next Top Model Prisoner. Here comes running poo-poo. So you think vodka helps you dance? The Amazing Race, hosted by Donald Sterling and Hitler. And finally,
I just face-pumped at that.
I know. Someone tweeted Mike Hill, what credentials do you need to get into ESPN? He replied, do you love Tebow? I kid. Talent/experience. That's the tweet of the week.
Nice. Well done. So now, finally, excuse me, we're going to get into Payback.
Oh, Payback. What a show this was.
This was actually a pretty good show.
Mm-hmm.
The mains delivered, which I'll just say that now. And the pre-show actually tried to steal the show, and that's where we're going to start. And your pre-show match was El Torito versus Hornswoggle in a mask versus hair match.
He had a mini barber's chair, which is funny.
Which was so cute!
El Torito used his quickness to outsmart Hornswoggle early on. They had, at one point, there was an airplane to spin. Both men went down. Both men were very dizzy at one point. They collided at one point as well. Hornswoggle couldn't really see where he was. Went for a splash and completely missed by like 30 feet. Torito kept going for pin. Ref caught him, threw him back down. Kicked out again. Caught him, threw him back down on Hornswoggle. Hornswoggle went for a pin. Got kicked out. Went up at the ref and the ref didn't catch him. And Hornswoggle was like mad. Because he was saying, you know, why do you keep throwing me down on him? Or throwing him down on me, and then he didn't do it for him. And Torito and Slater went on the ring at one point. Then we had the giant scissors come out. Swoggle missed the moonsault, 3MB, goes to take out the Bullfighters. They missed, the Matadors took them out. Hornswoggle thinks about diving over the top rope, stops. Drew dives over. And then Hornswoggle actually dove and landed on them, because he's a big, heavy guy. He took all four guys. He's Slater. Goes up, gets up on the apron, Torito jumps from there and nails him with a hurricanrana onto everyone from the top rope, which was nice. Torito hit a Bronco Buster, tries doing a move from the top rope. Swoggle catches him and slams him down on a sit-down powerbomb. Then Swoggle pulls off the mask and then realizes, wait, there's another mask. JBL thinks this point was a real face. That his real face is a mask. Was not to be. Springboard moonsault. El Torito wins.
What's interesting is Hornswoggle actually thought he won the match.
Yeah, he thought by pulling off the mask, he wins. I win. No.
Not quite, Swoggle.
That's not.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Any. Again, JBL made this match.
Mm-hmm.
JBL, anytime that bull is out there, is just hilarious.
And to answer the question, it's Match of the Century Part 7.
I wouldn't say match of the century, but it was a good match. Well, very, very, very entertaining.
Well, according to JBL, all their encounters are match of the century.
No,
not so much.
You cannot top Taker Sean at 25. You just can't.
Which we watched the other day, which was awesome.
Which we watched. Yeah, if you haven't watched WrestleMania Rewind on the network, if you have the network, go watch it. They actually did talk about Taker Shawn 25, and they have interviews with both The Undertaker and Shawn Michaels about that match. Specifically talking about it. So yeah, go watch it, because they actually give some really good insights into what went down with that match and kind of what led up to it.
Yes.
But yeah, this was a very entertaining match. Afterwards, you had Hornswoggle protesting. He then complacently got in the chair, complacently let them give him a horrible haircut, And, yeah, so this was, like, the calmest I've ever seen somebody get their head shaved.
Yeah, Hornswoggle's face every time he got razored was funny. And JBL said that they were using whipped cream. Oops.
I bet that was fun to get out of your hair.
No, it was actually shaving cream. He just mistake it, saying whipped cream.
Fair enough, but... Yeah, so Hornswoggle ends up with a horrible haircut as El Torito picks up the victory to kick off Payback.
Yeah, we should mention on the post-show, he had a mirror with him, and then he was just freaking out, talking about, my hair, it was my movie star good looks.
Well,
he's been in two movies, did you know?
Mm-hmm. He's in the Leprechaun series, I know that.
But they got rid of his movie star good looks.
We'll get you a wig, it'll be fine.
Fine.
If the Undertaker can wear a wig, you can wear a wig.
Yeah, anyone can wear a wig at this point.
We then went to your first match of the official show, which was the U.S. title match, Sheamus versus Cesaro. This was a fantastic follow-up to the hair versus mask match. These two just went back and forth. They beat the crap out of it. Paul Heyman took a shot.
Yeah, so...
Oh, I'm sorry. He's not here tonight. He's over at the United Center watching the Blackhawks. Watching the Blackhawks get their streak broken by the LA Kings. Just like the king of all streaks was broken when my client, Brock Lesnar, conquered The Undertaker's undefeated streak at WrestleMania.
That's one way to address the CM Punk situation.
And we have audio the other way a little bit later.
Yeah, there were two shots taken at CM Punk on this show. This was the first. Once again, you have Paul Heyman go out and address it with the Chicago crowd, which is what they did the last time they were in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Brilliant done, because basically it kind of shut him up, at least for a little bit, concerning Punk, because it's like, yeah, he's not here. You're not going to see him. He's over watching the Blackhawks, and, well, Heyman jinxed the Blackhawks and caused him to lose, which resulted in CM Punk having to get a picture in a Kings jersey, which was hilarious.
Yeah. Hashtag blame Heyman.
Blame Heyman.
Not to be confused with hashtag blame Rob, which happens Saturday nights when he kills people. Anyway.
Yeah. And he's gotten a couple this week, so tune in and listen. But, yeah, this was a good match. I would actually love to see more of Sheamus and Cesaro.
Hard hitting is what you expect. There's one point he hit the 10 beats of something or other. I can catch what they say. 10 beats where he pounced the chest, and he actually did it 20 times, which went, ow, ow. There's a nice suplex bringing Cesaro bring Sheamus back in the ring. They just beat the crap out of each other. There was a nice uppercut by Cesaro where he lifted him up in the air and connected. Sheamus went for a kick. Cesaro ducked, hit a German, which was nice. Sheamus hit a white noise afterwards for a two count. Cesaro went for an elbow from the ropes, missed. Cloverleaf by Sheamus. And then we had the giant swing by Cesaro and Sheamus that went around like 15 times with the fans chanting like 21. But as he was recovering, Cesaro goes over to Sheamus, and then Sheamus hits him with his small package for a three count. Sheamus wins.
Which everybody was like, wait, what?
Right? Heyman freaked out. He's like, how dare you use a wrestling move to beat my client?
Right?
This is supposed to be a fight. How dare you use a wrestling move?
Yeah. So, this is not over, not by a long shot, but this was really a good way to have Cesaro lose and still keep him strong.
Yeah,
and keep Sheamus on his push.
It was. So, we were very concerned, at least I was, about Cesaro losing this match. So, thankfully, he lost in a way where it's like, okay, he didn't lose anything from it.
Yeah, so they can continue this on, and it'll be... it'll be fine.
Mm-hmm.
So, good match. Very entertaining. A nice follow-up to the kickoff show. We then had the Rhodes brothers taking on Rybacksel in a very solid match. And, well, things didn't go so well for the Rhodes brothers.
No, it didn't. The Rybacksel dominated Goldust throughout the match. Goldust was fought hard to make the hot tag to Cody. Goldust was able to finally, after hit a nice the Canadian Destroyer, or Code Gold, as she calls it, on one of the members of Rybacksel. Cody got the hot tag. He went for a crossbody on both men. He sort of slipped. I think he was supposed to do moonsault, but he saved himself a little bit. Ryback sent Cody into Goldust, hit a meat hook clothesline for a two count. Cody Rhodes hit the crossroads for a two count. Axel got dumped to the outside. Disaster kick, no. Caught into the shell shock. Rybacksel wins.
And, well, afterwards, Goldust tried to talk to Cody, but Cody had a mad. Basically, Cody takes the microphone and then tells his brother, well, you need a better tag team partner than me, and walks off. So, well, there's the Rybacksel split. Little more anticlimactic than we all thought.
Rhodes Brothers.
Getting a little tired. Sorry. Rhodes Brothers. So, yeah. Little anticlimactic, so we'll have to see where it goes.
From brother to brother, you need a better tag team partner than me.
Very interesting. Up next, it's the Battle of the Aggressive Flag Wavers, as we have Rusev taking on Big E. Basically, Lana came out and said that we will bow down and respect Vladimir Putin, and Big E became Black Saw Jim Duggan.
Ho!
As everybody was joking, he had an American flag. Rusev, of course, had his Russian flag.
Big E had his very own UFC singlet. Big spots. It was quick. It was a quick match. Rusev hit a nice German suplex on Big E. Big E finally got Rusev off his feet. Hit him with a big spear out of the ring, which becomes a patented move, which I think he should not use all the time, but it seems like he is a little bit lately. Rusev then hit a nice kick to Big E, and then we had Rusev crush accolade to Big E. Big E tried to fight it, but eventually tapped out. Your winner, Alexander Rusev.
Yeah, Lana kind of freaked out when Big E speared Rusev, I should say, out of the ring. She sort of was like yelling at Rusev to get in the ring. It's kind of awesome.
Yeah, we should mention from where we are, I correctly predicted Sheamus, you had Cesaro, and then we both had El Torito and Rusev at this point.
Yeah, I don't think I did very well in this pay-per-view.
Keep going.
Anyway, moving on, we had your next contest of the evening, the inspirational Bo Dallas, Mr. Velveeta himself, taking on Kofi Kingston.
This matchup was set up on the pre-show, we should mention, when breaking news, Booker T said that Kofi was going to be fighting, because he had made some Twitter comments, and, well, the authority, well,
they didn't like it,
because what did they do?
The match never happened because, well, Kane came out before the bell rang. He attacked Kofi, and the bell rang anyway. There was a chokeslam, a tombstone to Kofi, and then Kane left. Meanwhile, Bo bailed out of the ring, and he cowered in the corner of the ring area, watching Kane do everything.
He did.
And as Kane leaves, Bo gets back in the ring. He takes the microphone, and he takes Kofi's hand, and he says, "Don't worry, Kofi. You're going to be back on your feet in no time, and better than ever. All you have to do is, all of you," points to the crowd, "is bow, leave."
Yeah, all you have to do, is, and then he paused and said, "and all of you, just kind of bow, leave."
This is great.
He is so cheesy. He's a cheesy motherfucker.
He does this so well. Like, if you've ever seen him out of character, he's the most chill individual you'll ever see.
Yeah.
So to see him do this, it's really hilarious.
Yeah.
But after this, we got the IC title match, Bad News Barrett taking on Rob Van Dam. I should note, JBL thinks it's crazy for someone to go by three initials.
Pot, kettle, anyway.
Hi.
Good match. Solid match. They battled hard. RVD had a spinning kick, leg drop on the outside. Barrett threw RVD up in the air in the corner and kicked him in the midsection. You heard it. It's like, ow. Barrett then knocked RVD off the apron with a running boot. Sent him in the barricade. Almost a 10 count. RVD beat it. Barrett drives him in the corner, hangs him over the top turnbuckle, and hits him with a running hard kick. Another one where you go, ow. Barrett went with a pump handle slam. RVD connected with the step over kick as he countered out of it. RVD makes his comeback with the clotheslines and his big kicks. Rolling thunder. 2 count. Then hit the frog splash, but missed. Barrett goes for the elbow. Miss. Swinging side slam by Barrett. Afterwards, 2 count. Barrett went for the elbow again. Hit the ring post. RVD with a springboard. Tornado DDT. 2 count. Split leg lit moonsault. No, gets the knees up. Bull hammer for the victory. I'm afraid, RVD, I've got some bad news.
As Wade Barrett retains his title over Rob Van Dam to continue, I guess, his dominance? I don't know.
I don't know.
Anyway, up next, it is decision time for the WWE World Heavyweight Championship. Stephanie McMahon says Bryan will do the right thing and forfeit the championship. She then calls out Daniel Bryan, who's got a big... And she's got a big smile on her face because she thinks she's about to win. Bryan gets a huge ovation with Yes Chance. And, you know, Bryan has brought Brie out with him because, as we know, it's either he gives up the title or Brie gets fired. And Steph is glad that Bryan has brought Brie out. She says that all of this is on Bryan. And then she made a comment about them conceiving a weird bearded baby.
Yeah.
Actually, if anybody's going to do that, it's going to be Bray Wyatt. Pointing that out.
Cool, pointing that one out. Are you going to show your future children that you did the right thing from his wife and his future child? Or will you be selfish?
Bryan says that this is an opportunity for Stephanie, who got booed. It sounded something like that, but louder, more boos. Doesn't change that she is the boss and he has a decision to make. He says that he's giving her the opportunity to do the right thing. He fought hard to win the championship and main event.
WrestleMania.
You left that out. They're allowed CM Punk chants.
Hold on. There was loud CM Punk chants. There were loud CM Punk chants.
I fought, I scratched, I clawed to main event at WrestleMania.
See, Daniel, these people want you to quit, just like CM Punk did.
They're taking shots, y'all. It's kind of official.
Bryan hopes Steph's kids are watching to see she is a self-centered... What's that word?
Bitch.
Steph says Brie made a poor decision, a poor choice in a husband. Brie says she knows what needs to be done, and Steph says, do the right thing. And then she says, do the right thing again, and hand over the title. Brie stops Bryan at this point, and yeah.
Actually, I refuse to be a powerless victim. You don't control me. Oh, see, but Brie, I do, because you work for me. And seeing as how you're interrupting what Daniel Bryan was about to do, I think I'm going to have to take action and say... No, that's where you're wrong. And how much this hurts me. You can't fire me. I quit!
We should know Brie slaps Stephanie there.
That sound you heard was a slap across the face.
Yeah, that was the slap heard around the world.
We had
the chair shot heard around the
world. Yeah, Steph runs out of the ring. We have Yes Chance as that segment closed. Fun segment. Brie quits. Big news. Brie quit.
So, all right. Well, how are we going to move forward from here? What is Nikki going to do? Questions, questions, but at least Daniel Bryan walks out of Payback. You're WWE champion. So, this was a good segment. This was a nice way to handle this because, again, they're still not sure how to deal with Bryan, how to deal with the injury, how fast he's going to heal. This was really well done, and this was a good way to get your champion on the show without him competing.
And we both got that wrong, saying we thought he would give up the belt. He did not. And we also got Wade Barrett correct.
Woohoo!
This then brings us to Last Man Standing.
John Cena versus Boo Boo Bray Wyatt.
Lots and lots and lots of pretty lights.
Oh, that makes me so happy when every time everybody throws up the lights. Like, it was an arena full of cell phone lights, and it was amazing.
Alright, so we had Let's Go Cena. Cena sucks chance before even Cena enters. Usos come out as backup for Cena. So, Cena and Bray trade shots. Bray takes control. Big splash in the corner. Bray dances with Cena. Cena comes right back. Shoulder black, five knuckle shuffle. Bray gets out of it. Out of the AA. Drops Cena with the spin out bomb. Bray counters into his STF. Big, you know, the big rock bottom move he types does to John Cena. And he got some height on that thing.
Uh-huh.
Sister Abigail was countered. Cena comes off the ropes. He gets cut off with the crossbody he does. Bray plants Cena on the apron with a clubbing shot, dropping him like a DDT, which was nice. AA got countered. Sister Abigail was hit. Cena gets up at 8. Cena hits an AA. And Bray Wyatt doesn't just get up. He, you know, lifts himself up in the spider.
Which was hilarious at the ref's reaction. He was like, holy crap.
This is the point where the Usos and the Wyatt family got involved. And they were all taken out on the outside of the ring. And they just sort of disappeared at that point.
They did. I guess they fought off. I don't know.
I don't know. They got taken out. They all took each other out. And they were just done for a while. Then we got physical. Bray Wyatt got a chair. Starts hammering Cena with the chair. Bray then eventually missed. Cena got the chair and used it on Bray, so returning the favor. Cena then with a big shot with the chair to Bray. Bray got up at 7. Then tables got pulled out. Bray put Cena through a table with a suplex. And then, to what he probably regretted in the morning, Bray Wyatt brought in steel steps. He ran over Cena with the steps and stood on top of the steps and then conducted the crowd singing along as Cena got up at 7. Bray was missed with the chair shot as he was going to crush him with the steps in the chair. Cena gets the steps, nails Bray Wyatt. Bray Wyatt gets up at 6, rolls out of the ring. And then in an impressive move of the night, Cena grabbed the steps and launched them right at the face of Bray Wyatt.
Yeah, that was... Because Cena was, what, mid-ring when he threw him?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, from mid-ring to the bottom of the entrance ramp, I think, is where Bray was. Cena threw, and I mean threw, those steps at him. And good lord, I'm surprised he did not break Bray Wyatt's face. Because, yeah, Bray did a really good job of getting his hands up to block that.
And got cut open in the process.
Yeah, he got a cut on his elbow in the process, and you know that hurt like a mother.
Yeah, Bray got up at 8. Cena dived off the apron, got caught into his sister Abigail, which was nice.
Mm-hmm.
Backdrop on Bray Wyatt on the steps, which looked like it hurt. Bray did the running senton onto the steps, which was off the steps, which was nice. Bray there's the bloody elbow. Cena was holding onto his ribs.
We should note, Bray got some really good height on the senton.
Oh, he did. Oh, yes, he did. Cena hit the AA on the outside, and this is where Harper and Rowan found their way back to the ring, and they attacked Cena, helping Bray up in the process. Harper and Rowan then take out Cena some more. Luke hit his big boot, which is also always impressive. Then the Usos came back out, right as Michael Cole said the following. How can Cena combat these odds?
Gee, I wonder.
He's calling out the Usos. The Usos came back. Luke hit an Uso with a table. Cole was screaming that Bray was down, Bray was down. Someone, call him. He was down. You had Harper and Rowan setting up tables. There were two tables set up together. Rowan went for a follow-up slam, but ate a super kick instead. Then Eric Rowan got driven through a table in the was set up by the barricade by one of the Usos. And then Harper had the other Uso up on the top rope and superplexed them through two tables on the outside, which was impressive.
It looked like it hurt, too.
That's a dangerous spot. Just a superplex, one thing to the outside, which is dangerous, and then you're going through tables. That's a spot, yeah.
Yeah, it looks like Luke... I think Luke might have hit his head.
He may have. Bray then drives John Cena through the barricade. They then start fighting through the crowd. Bray then randomly set off the thing of pyro.
Which he laughed at.
He did. He did. Eventually, it boiled down to John Cena AAing Bray Wyatt through the casing thing, the box. And then he put the other box on top of Bray Wyatt. As we had 8, 9, 10. Your winner, John Cena.
Bullshit.
Talk about
this,
it.
First of all, this was a great match. This was a fantastic match. It got physical. They got into it with each other, which is what I was hoping for. I wanted to see a fight between these two. I wanted to see them mix it up fully, which they didn't necessarily do at Mania. They didn't really do it in the cage match, but they did it here, which is what they needed it to do. You saw John Cena get way more aggressive with Bray. You saw Bray much more aggressive. You kind of almost saw the monster come out of Cena, which was cool. I liked that Harper and Rowan were involved, the Usos were involved, but they were not involved in the entire match. They had two moments, and that was it. And that's all you really needed them for.
They were nice segues in the match.
Yeah, they were nice segues. They were a nice break for Bray and Cena to kind of catch their breath for a minute and then keep going. This is my only real complaint about this match is the way that they finish it. I hate when they do this crap in a last man standing match because it's not the proper way to win, where you have John Cena basically trap Bray Wyatt in a box for a 10 count. It's like you didn't beat him into submission. You trapped him under something. It's kind of like when he taped Batista's, ankles to the ropes. It's a loophole. It's a way to get around it. He's technically down for a 10 count, but you did not beat him into submission.
All right, you're supposed to beat him down before they can get up.
Right, and that's the whole point of a last man standing match. So and Bray Wyatt apparently cuts a promo on SmackDown. He was absent from Raw to sell what happened. John Cena looked like, he was fine. But yeah, I don't like it when they do finishes like that, and more often than not, when Cena does a last man standing match, they do finishes like this, where Cena purposely does not beat his opponent in submission. They find another way for him to win, whether it's taping the ankles to the rope, whether it's, a no finish, whether it's, trapping his opponent in a box. So I hope that gets pointed out by Bray Wyatt that technically you didn't win. As Mace put it, that, I win because you didn't beat me into submission.
Right. You trapped me. You didn't beat me.
Yeah, you didn't beat me. You trapped me. There's a difference, which will probably lead to a fourth match between the two, in which Harper and Rowan and the Usos will not be involved. Or maybe they will. Who knows? But yeah. Overall, this was a really good match. It was really physical. You saw, again, the steps being hurled at Bray Wyatt's face, which was just like, holy crap. Please don't kill each other.
Yeah, this match was so much better than the Extreme Rules show. So much better of a match.
Yeah, this was better. Again, it's just... I like how you minimized Rowan and Harper's involvement. I really want to see them have more where Bray does it more on his own and does it less with Luke and Eric, and they're just more there. Like, if he needs their help once, that's fine. But ultimately, Bray should be able to get it done on his own. He's the leader. He should set that example. Again, I don't like that Bray lost because I feel like Bray needs to get that big win sooner now rather than later. And the loss isn't going to hurt him that much because he'll cut one good promo and he'll be fine. But I don't want to see him lose this feud because this is kind of his make it or break it feud for me right now. And so it's, as much as I love him, I'm worried that, it's basically they're going to give him John Cena and John Cena's going to kill him. and then he's going to get pushed down to the mid-card and we'll never see him again. So it's something of Bray needs a big win, and he needs it soon, especially after suffering this loss.
I agree.
But anyway, speaking of big wins, maybe, we have the Divas Championship up next, in which Paige took on Alicia Fox.
Alicia Fox dominated most of this matchup. She had Paige down on the outside, threw her into the barricade, which looked like it hurt. Fox had a straight jacket cross lock on, was applied. The ref, at one point, you know, Fox's shoulders were down, but they never actually counted. But she's like, ref, count. Her shoulders are down. I think the commentary even made mention to that. Alicia was dominant on Paige. Paige made her comeback with clotheslines, dropkick, yanked her off the top rope, and then hit the PTO, and Fox tapped out. Fan chant, you tapped out. Fox tried to keep calm and just ran off weirdly to the back.
Yeah. So we didn't get any freak out, at least on the pay-per-view. She freaked out on the post-show during her press conference.
Yeah.
Then we get, at least in my opinion, match of the night, which was the no-holds-barred elimination in the final match for the Shield, taking on Evolution.
Blue-tista.
Yeah, the Blue-tista movement was born. Once again, Randy and Trips wore black, and Dave came out in like this bluish, almost periwinkle blue color.
Brawl opened the match. Batista and Reigns went in the crowd. Dean and Orton fought off in the crowd. Hunter and Seth were in the ring. They all then ended up in the crowd. They all sort of found their way back to the ring at some point. We had the Batista chant at one point. Evolution took control. Shield took control. We had the Roman and Hunter stare down. Shield then dominated Hunter for a while. There's a running senton on the Hunter in the corner, which was nice. Batista then threw Dean into the wall hard. Evolution then started working over Dean. Dean bounced off the ropes, hit a clothesline. We then got back into the brawling after Roman hit a dropkick and a Superman punch for a two count. They went brawling everywhere, crowd fighting. Rollins got hit with a TV monitor. Roman got put into the steps. There was a triple powerbomb by Evolution to Roman Reigns, putting him through the table. Dean Ambrose then dove out of nowhere onto Evolution. Rollins then dove over the top rope onto Evolution, so it's like, where are Dean? Where are Rollins? And there they came. Evolution then brawled up the aisle with Dean and Seth. Hunter put nailed Rollins and Dean with chair shots. We got really physical at this point. Orton throws Dean back first into a chair, which was, ow, pedigree.
Yeah, that looked like it hurt.
We had a pedigree on it to a chair, so they got taken out. Then you had Roman crawling back into the ring. It was a 3-on-1. Batista hit a spinebuster on Roman. And they pulled off his shirt and his vest. And then they took the steps, laid him out, and each took shot after shot after shot after shot after shot with Singapore canes to the back of Roman Reigns. It's like, welcome to the main event.
Yeah, that was that. You're just sitting there cringing because some of them were worked shots and some of them were not worked shots.
And by the picture, he got hit a lot.
Yeah, his back was messed up after that. That poor man, he was just in pain. I feel bad for him.
Rowan Abel got back up, hit a Superman punch, but then was attacked by Hunter. Ambrose tried to help Roman, but got taken out. Orton hit a hanging DDT. Then out of nowhere, Seth Rollins, once again, dove off the Titantron down onto Evolution. And we then had a spear by spear to Rollins by Batista. Batista then got speared by Roman. Seth Rollins then got dragged onto Batista to eliminate him, which is fitting that Seth eliminated Batista after everything that happened on Monday. RKO led to a two count. We had a headlock driver by Dean onto Orton to eliminate him. The dirty deeds, as it were. Then we had a low blow by Hunter to Dean. So it was down to Shield versus Hunter. Low blow to Dean. Superman punch to break up a pedigree. Batista then came back in, speared Roman. Then we have a sledgehammer. Dean got taken out. He was killed. But then we had a big ninja knee from Seth Rollins. Spear. Hunter is gone. He's eliminated. The Shield eliminate Evolution on this night.
This was another fantastic mix-up between these three.
Between
these six.
Oh, yeah.
I can count. This was just, good God, they went everywhere. They beat the crap out of each other. This was fantastic.
This was match of the night. Which, and this pay-per-view was really good. Again, it's worth it to get the WWE Network. The pay-per-views are very entertaining. 3 weeks, 3 months in a row, every single pay-per-view has delivered.
I will say it was a little slow to, you know, after the Sheamus-Cesaro match, it was a little slow, but then it picked up. The important thing is that your two main event matches, which were Bray and Cena and the Shield and Evolution, delivered 110%. And that's what you want. And these were just both, this match in particular was just so well done and so well crafted. And I love how they all went for it.
In official pick'em, I went 6-2, you went 5-3, and the one match we split on was Cesaro and Sheamus. So that was the difference right there. We now go all the way back around, Lindsay.
Do we?
Question of the night. What was it? What was your favorite match in the last week from WWE?
Oh, I can't pick just one.
You gotta pick one.
I can't pick one.
We had some for Sami Zayn and Tyler Breeze, couple for the Charlotte match, couple for Shield and Evolution. I'm going with Charlotte and Natty as the most enjoyable, my favorite match of the week.
I can't pick, and since I'm the host, I don't have to, so...
No, you gotta pick.
No, I don't.
Yes, you do. All right, I'll give you two. Give me two.
That's all I have was two. So, Charlotte, Natty, and the Shield versus Evolution. Those were the standout matches of the week, and they were just so, so good and so enjoyable to watch.
So, there you go.
So, those were our picks. Those are the results. How did a moth get in my house? Anyway, so... I'm going to go ahead and trap a moth. We're going to wrap up the show for the evening. And, well, you got stuff to plug, so plug.
Tomorrow afternoon is the Rack Extra Total Divas, the season finale, episode 11. Go check it out. It'll be available tomorrow. Go back and listen to episode 10, which we reviewed on Tuesday, or Wednesday, so check that out. Saturday night is midnight-ish. It is CB Radio, the weird, the wacky, the unusual. We're playing Monotunes this week. So that should be fun. A brand new game that I watched on TV show that I'm bringing to the show, and that I am working hard on creating. So, Monotunes, plus Blame Rob and all that fun stuff. Follow the show on Twitter, at CB Radio WTR, and Facebook.com/cigarettebuttsandbananas. Sunday, 10 p.m., Russell Talk Radio, Tim Stein, Mason Omega. Follow the show on Twitter, at WTR Sunday, and Facebook.com/Russell Talk Radio. They'll recap the week in pro wrestling. Monday night, Raw Post Show, 11:30 p.m. Eastern. We won't be live next week, correct?
I don't know.
We'll
have to talk about that after the show.
There's a chance we might not be live next week, so we'll figure that out. Follow us on Twitter at WTRTheRack and Facebook.com/WTRTheRack. Follow me on Twitter at Wild Talk Radio and Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network.
You can follow me on Twitter at LinsWard, LinsWard, and go to my website, psychwarddesigns.com. Check that out. If you'd like to purchase my artwork that is still available in my Redbubble store, you can do that at psychwarddesigns.com. Just go under the Contact Us section of the website, click the link there, and it will take you directly to my Redbubble store. And yes, select pieces are available because, again, little issue, they kind of got yanked. So,
for a limited time only, it's available.
Yeah, for a limited time only, it's available, so yeah, go check that out. And of course, if you just want to view my artwork, it is all available for your viewing pleasure at Behance.net, Behance.net/LinsWard, same as the Twitter, so go check that out. And of course, listen to all the other fine programming on this network, as Rock just plugged. Visit our fine sponsors, PWMania.com, TNAsylum.com, and of course, Wrestling Figure Wednesdays.
Go to youtube.com/mbg1211.
Sorry, I'm chasing a moth around my house. So, for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to The Rack right here on wildtalkradio.com, and we will see you next week. Possibly. Bye. Touch a the girl's afraid she drive a Jeep and live on the beach. I'm okay, I won't play, I love the bay, just like I love LA, Venice Beach and Palm Springs. Time is everything, homeboys banging out, all that ass hanging out. Bikinis, bikinis, martinis, no weenies, just the king and the queen. Katie, my lady, look at here, baby, I'm all up on you, cause you representing California.